A full year, 12 months of the best viral videos of the week up at KROQ.com or KevinAbean.com, something we call the Internet Roundup, but it's time to count down the top 10 of the year. Hit it, Steve.
Yo, KROQ listeners around the world, it is time for the Internet Roundup, so tell all the boys and girls, we've got fun and sexy, even music too, we've got all the greatest videos and they're mostly on YouTube.
Out of time now for the videos. Nothing we can do for you. An honorable mention before we get into the top 10. Some of the best videos of the year all were centered around one theme, and this is the Ice Bucket Challenge. It's hard to believe. That seems like years ago now, but that was just this year in 2014. Dave, what's this video you put up in the Internet Roundup this week?
It's a compilation of the best ones of this year. You know, it starts off with that hockey player who was on a glacier, who had a helicopter dump some glacier ice water on him.
That was awesome.
Yeah, and it just shows all the wacky
ones.
Are
Foo Fighters in it?
Not in this one, but yeah, there was all kinds of great videos this year.
Well, one of the things they all have in common is a sentence that sounds something like this.
I am accepting the ALS Ice Bucket Challenge.
That is our honorable mention for the top 10 for 2014. All right, now getting into the countdown. Number 10, Kate Upton, who's Kevin's girlfriend, of course, Sports Illustrated swimsuit model, did a photo shoot for SI where she went into zero gravity. And I'm just going to have you picture what you love about Kate Upton and picture what that looks like in zero gravity. And that'll give you an idea of why you need to check out this video.
You got it, honey. You got it.
Honey, you got it. That's it.
That face pretty, pretty. Oh, my God.
What's going on?
Sound down is fine on that video.
There's a lot
too.
Of jiggling in that.
Yeah, there certainly
video.
Is.
How's that not number one?
a lot of great videos this year involved family members videotaping other family members who have just had surgery or dental work done and are under the effects of anesthesia. And that's what's going on with this girl who had her wisdom teeth removed at number 9.
Mommy.
Yes, darling.
I want to have sex with my bathroom. I want white. Is this what marijuana feels like?
No, I don't think so.
Because I don't like it.
She's telling her mom how much she wants to bone Ryan Gosling. Number 8, we saw this kid and fell in love with him. He just stole the show. He grabbed a reporter's microphone at a carnival. Where was he, Dave? Like in Wisconsin or something like that.
Yeah, somewhere.
And he starts doing an interview, and apparently this kid is apparently awesome.
Apparently you're spinning around, and apparently every time you get dizzy...
Yeah.
That's all you do is get dizzy.
Excited?
Yeah, and apparently I already went down the super slide. When I went down the water, I was scared half to death.
I love that kid.
I hate that kid.
I love him so
much. Why? You
so
hate
cute.
Him.
Stupid. Apparently he knows one word. He keeps using it. Dude, you're old enough.
Not a why are you a Grinch?
He is awesome. Number 7, Kevin, here's another one that you might well ask, why is this not number 1? We just talked to the guy on the phone yesterday, the genius behind Fart Metal.
Yep.
He actually made those sounds with his own butt and then put it to metal music. It's awesome. Number 6, another of the, I'm sure Dave hates this little girl.
Oh, no, I love this girl.
She's also so cute. How old is she? She's like 4 maybe, something like that?
Very young, yeah, 4 or 5.
And she has a much younger sibling who she is, it's just starting to occur to her that kids grow up and get old. And she's already at 4. She's pre-sad that her little brother is one day going to grow up and get old. And here's how she expresses that at number 6.
Cute and it makes you cry.
And I don't want to die when I'm 100.
You don't
want to
die when you're 100.
I don't want to
That kid has the too big a burden to carry right there.
Yes, she does.
What 4-year-old is worried about dying at 100?
Too much sadness in her life. Number five was one of the strangest videos of the whole year. It was made for Adult Swim. It aired at 4 o'clock in the morning, and people tuned in. I mean, you can just imagine how many stoned people were flipping around the dial and came across this and couldn't imagine what it was they were seeing. It covers a dozen genres. It looks like a soap opera. It looks like a cop show. It looks like everything, and it's called Too Many Cooks at number five.
Too many cooks. A family is like a soup. Everyone adds an extra scoop. Mix an ounce of smile so sweet. A dash of cool to add the heat. And you've got too many cooks. Too many cooks. Too many cooks.
Too many cooks. And your advice, Kevin, was just when you think you've seen it, keep watching, right?
Yeah, I'm the guy who goes, okay, I got a gist of what this is, and I'm going to move on. Don't do that with this
one. Don't do that with this one.
So much going on. Yeah.
Ralph, what's your name? You're Dave. Dave, how did you discover Rosa G, or how did she find us?
I did it. Because Kevin discovered her.
Kevin, what do you remember about Rosa G?
Seeing the video and going, awesome!
Yeah. She is awesome. She does songs for every holiday, and this is one that we fell very much in love with at number four. Here's Rosa G and her music video for the 4th of July.
But I'm fresh. I'm looking real mean. Blocking UV SPF 15. Paper plates with patriotic doodles, wave a tiny flag for my pool noodle. Love the 4th of July, love the 4th of July. I do it up big on the 4th of July. Love the 4th of July, love the 4th of July. Sip my soda on the 4th of July. 4th of July.
Awesome.
We are counting down the top 10 internet roundup videos of the whole year. One of the series that we love the most, and it's so well done, is called Bad Lip Reading. What's special about this one for The Walking Dead Season 4, Dave?
This time they added a song, so now they're actually, you know, doing a bad lip reading with a song, and they put it to music, and it's awesome.
And it's Carl.
It's Carl, yeah. Carl rapping.
I hurt the gingerbread boy, cause he's pretend bread boy. Little cookie man, never waved to me, so he got knocked out, because I flow. Little jiggy jar jar dude, dinner. Man, I just flow.
Carl's not saying any of those things, but it sure looks like he is, doesn't it?
Yeah, you watch his lips and you go, he actually is saying those things. This doesn't make sense.
Number two is kind of a tough one to explain. What can we say about When Will the Bass Drop?
Well, it's a SNL skit. It was one of those digital shorts where they were kind of making fun of the whole DJ scene and the EDM scene about people just going crazy for these DJs. And,
right.
You know, Andy Samberg just is waiting for the bass to drop.
Get turned up to death.
I gotta see that one.
That's kind of a visual, yeah.
Yeah.
Little John is in the video too. It's very funny. And we had a lot of discussion in the office yesterday about what our favorite video of the year was for 2014. But I think the consensus was that it's Rob Cantor and a video that he did called Shia LaBeouf. Now, he had written this song about Shia LaBeouf going out into the woods and becoming a cannibal a couple of years before, but he brought it back and did it with a choir, with the Gay Men's Chorus of Los Angeles, if I recall correctly. And it is just so genius, the way this song is done on stage. And Shia LaBeouf himself is in the video in a very surprising way. It's our number one Internet Roundup video of the year. Here's Shia LaBeouf.
Wait, he isn't dead. Shia, surprise, there's a gun to your head. And death in his eyes, but you can do jujitsu. With body slams, superstar Shia LaBeouf. Legendary fight with Shia LaBeouf. Normal Tuesday night for Shia LaBeouf. You try to swing an axe at Shia LaBeouf, but blood is streaming fast from your stump leg. He's dodging every swipe, he parries to the left. You gather to the right, you catch him in the neck. You're chopping off his head now. You have just decapitated Shia LaBeouf.
It is so awesome, and you can see all of those videos at KROQ.com or KevinandBean.com. This weekend is the sold-out 25th annual KROQ Almost Acoustic Christmas. We are looking for contestants right now to win tickets for which night are we giving away this time?
Night number two,
Imagine Dragons and Interpol, Modest Mouse, No Doubt, Smashing Pumpkins, Tears for Fears, Vance Joy, Alt-J, and Weezer. If you would like to go, you'll have to earn the tickets, and I promise you, this will be painful. 1-800-520-1067. We'll play the game next on KROQ.
106.7 KROQ is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 726.
That means we're a little over half an hour away from hooking you up with tickets in the Party Bus section to Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness 2014. Party Bus not included. That's going to be this Saturday at the Shrine with all of our favorite comedy friends on stage for one big night. VIP reception with Kevin and Bean, limited edition Party Bus section show t-shirt, VIP parking. That's just after 8 o'clock this morning here on KREC. Don't miss it.
Here's a headline, cocaine-filled condoms sent to the Vatican.
Interesting transport system.
Yeah. Interesting destination.
That too.
Indeed.
German customs officials intercepted a shipment of cocaine destined for the Vatican in January. Apparently it was about 12 ounces, 14 condoms. But if you're in the Vatican, you can't use condoms, right? So how do you get your cocaine? Well, I don't think they thought that through.
Those are all good questions.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it's just a reasonable transport system. Do they put them in, don't they put them in condos because they're harder to detect somehow, like for dogs or something? Is there some deal like that?
I haven't really smuggled cocaine, so I don't.
Well, here's what's curious to me. There was no recipient's name on the package. It was just sent to the Vatican Post Office, but it was coming from South America. And I think we all know who's famously from Argentina. And I think you know that the man we're talking about, Pope Francis himself, joins us on the phone on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hello, Your Holiness.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
We're very good.
We're doing fine, sir, but we're a little concerned. As popular as you have been now in the papacy for a year, there's a little bit of a hint of scandal here that you might have some involvement in these drugs being transported.
Well, it's an embarrassing story for sure.
Uh-huh.
But it's just sent to the Vatican Post Office.
Right, just right. Generic, right.
There's 800 residents within the state of the Vatican.
How many of them are from South America?
Roughly 25, 30.
Okay.
From South America.
Okay.
But if the drugs come from South America, anyone who could be using the drugs would have, the package come from that area.
Yeah, okay. I understand. It makes sense. Look, I know that there's no proof that you were involved.
It sounds like you're trying to say something.
It just raised eyebrows
frankly,
because...
I don't like what you infer.
It's a strange story. I mean,
life can be strange.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Don't make me kick your ass.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry.
You did used to be a bouncer. That is true, actually.
I used to be a bouncer in a nightclub. I could kick your ass easily.
And where was the nightclub?
Where was the nightclub?
Yeah, it was in South America, wasn't it? I'm saying, Your Holiness, you have some answering to do.
I am, frankly, disturbed by the tone of this whole phone call.
I mean, do you have some answering to do is what I meant.
I have no answering, no questioning.
Okay,
You call me and hear... I am in interrupt morning prayers.
Oh, uh-huh.
Your Holiness, come on.
And you can put your... you guys are assholes.
You can put your phone on vibrate, too. You know that, right?
No,
you don't have
to
pick up.
You can't do that in the Catholic Church.
Oh, is that right?
You're
not allowed to put your phone
on
vibrate?
In your pocket that vibrates.
Oh, I see. I got it.
Big no-no.
And look, your name wasn't on the package. All we're saying is any of your little Vatican lackeys could have hopped on over to the post office.
Okay, hold on. Time out.
What?
Vatican lackeys.
Right.
This is, like, what I'm saying is disrespect. Disrespect.
No, I'm just saying any of your people could have gone and picked up the package for you, brought it back to you. No one's the wiser. We're just asking the question. That's all.
I don't really like you.
We're not asking the question from us. We're saying other people might get...
What's happening
I'm
there,
sorry,
Your
what'd
Holiness?
What'd you say?
We were asking you about people who could have picked up the cocaine.
Woo! Yeah! Hey, good morning. How you doing?
We're good.
Good, I'm a good too.
Yeah, we've been talking for about 5 minutes now.
This is not a better conversation for me to have it.
So, just to wrap up here, Pope Francis, you do or do not know anything about the cocaine-filled condom sent to the Vatican?
Wait, what's happening right now?
My lips are smacking. I can't stop them.
I see.
I don't know why. It's party time in Vatican.
I didn't think it was ever party time in Vatican.
Get the glow stick. Everybody get a glow stick.
Get the glow stick.
Pope Frankie in the house.
All right, Your Holiness, we'll let you go. You sound busy.
All right, God bless you.
You too. Our friend Adam Carolla with This Week in Rage. 1 hour from right now here on the Kevin Amin Show. The great Martin Short will be joining us later on. Dr. Drew. So much more on the way here on KROQ. First, though, I think we've got a little in-house problem we've got to address, a little family issue we need to talk about.
Just a second, Dave. Hold on 1 second. Oh. How about a little music, Bean? How about a little sad music? Because our man, Dave, the King of Mexico, is having real trouble.
Dave's having problems?
Yeah. Right, and we all love Dave, so this was really difficult for us.
Well, we do hate to see Dave sad.
Yeah, guys, sure. I have a problem, right. And the problem is at home. Where, you know, I have a girlfriend, right?
Right.
And, you know, I'm an affectionate guy.
Yes.
And okay.
I'm a softie.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't get to see my girlfriend much.
Right.
And so when I do, I just want to cuddle. And I just want to snuggle and sit on the couch and watch TV.
Wait,
because that's what I do.
Is that your first move on the way to sex? Or are you fine just to cuddle?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm fine just to do that. So, I do that. You know, I like to do that. So, I've been trying and trying and trying, and we've both been busy.
Well, you work a tremendous amount of hours.
I do.
And she has a job that requires a lot of traveling, so there aren't a lot of times where you're both home and available.
Exactly. So, when I do, I get stonewalled. She is having none of it.
She won't cuddle with you?
None of the cuddling.
Is sexy time happening, but no cuddling, or neither is happening?
Stop calling it sexy time.
the sexy time happens from time to time. It's fine. I'm fine with that.
No problem with that.
Yeah, no problem with that.
It's zero cuddling.
It's
just
the cuddling. Yeah.
Now, this is odd. Lisa, help me out with this. Isn't this the opposite of the problems that most women have? Most women, they don't get nearly enough cuddling, right?
That's right. It's usually the woman that's complaining about this.
It's usually sex. Well, are you guys sex or nothing?
Usually. Yeah, are you guys shocked that I'm the one that's the...
I'm not shocked, but it is
a little... Is that I'm the one complaining?
Yeah. So what does she say when you just want to sit on the couch? You're talking about you guys want to sit on the couch. You'd like to sit on the couch, watch TV together, but be real close, like have your arms around each other and kind of snuggle a little bit.
Kind of just, you know, sit up next to each other and, you know, just hug it out or whatever.
And what does she say?
What does she say?
She literally, like, stiff arm, like a Heisman pose. Just, get out. No.
Do you know
why? Does she say why?
I don't know. What? I don't know why. That's why I need your help.
Well, let's ask her. We've got her on the phone.
Okay.
Let's ask her about this.
Babes?
Babes?
Hi.
Babes?
Hi.
Oh, we woke her up, by the way. So
really, we can't tell.
How have you been, Krista? We haven't talked to you in a long time.
I'm good. Good morning.
Well, it's good to have you on. I don't know if you heard all of what Dave was saying, but it sounds like there's trouble in paradise.
I can't do it.
Now, why?
Because I get home and I sit on the couch and he just wants to, like, he's like a cat. Like, he puts his head there.
Right.
He starts, and it's hot here in L.A. It's hot, and Dave's a big boy, and it can get hot and sweaty just by cuddling.
Okay, but it's not hot every day of the year.
You have air conditioning, right?
We do.
Yeah, we do, but yeah.
But yeah.
But I mean, look, you love Dave and you guys live together and you're planning a future together, and he just wants to be affectionate with you. It seems like that's all win, Krista.
It is, but isn't affection just sitting there and watching the same TV like Shark Tank and isn't that enough?
Well, totally, I mean, not.
It's something.
But it could be anybody sitting next to you if there's like no affection.
Is this a blanket policy always? Like, do you ever snuggle or cuddle?
No, but he wants it all the time.
So maybe let's make sure Dave's telling us the truth here. So, Dave, are you, like, pestering her to the point where, like, she can't get up and walk across the room without you grabbing onto her clothes?
No, I'm not jumping on her back and holding her down. No.
Under her ankle.
That's true.
You know, she – hold on. She comes home, you know, she comes home way later than I do because we have way different schedules.
Right.
And I do try to cuddle, you know, make sure she gets comfortable, and then, you know,
we
snuggle, and then she, you know, stiff arms me, and then that's it. And I get sad and I sit in the corner and weep. Yeah.
But she said it's like a cat, like you're pouncing on her and you won't leave her alone. Is that accurate?
No, it's not accurate. I say it's like a cat when I first try. You know, like I, you know, a cat wants to cuddle up next to you.
Can you give her a second when she walks in the door?
I mean, maybe I should give her a little more time.
She walks through the door. Maybe she doesn't want to be attacked at that second.
But I gotta go to bed, man. So
you got a schedule.
Yeah, I got my own schedule that I gotta deal with.
Right.
So I don't have much time to let her put her stuff down. It's gotta be now. And these TV shows are only an hour, so listen, we have time.
Look, I'm ruling with Krista, by the way. I don't know about you guys, but this sounds like Krista's making the right call.
Well, you know, so since she won't cuddle me, I think I found a solution. We were talking about the app Cuddler yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Why not just let someone else cuddle with me?
Well, there's a thought.
That makes sense.
I mean, he has cuddling needs that are not being met.
Krista?
No.
See? Why is she holding me down?
You don't want to cuddle with him, and there's an app where Dave can actually meet somebody that there's no sex, that they just cuddle. Doesn't that take him off your hands so that he's not always trying to cuddle with you? Doesn't that help you?
No, this is why we need a dog.
But you guys both work too much and are gone too much to have a dog. It wouldn't be fair for a dog. So that's not a good solution. Now, there is a cat cafe in L.A. this weekend.
And I'm going today, man.
He can go and cuddle with a cat.
I will be there at 4. Yeah.
That's temporary, you know. But Krista, like Lisa said, there's no sex involved. It's a platonic cuddling experience. Dave could cuddle with somebody, get all that out of his system, and then treat you like an adult and a human when you get home.
It's just creepy and weird.
Yeah, I agree.
But just imagine that they're all Dave's cuddling.
Oh, good.
Right?
Good.
Then it's not really creepy or weird.
With big boobs, though.
The female version of Dave with the male version of Dave.
And Dave, you're being completely sincere here. This is not some sort of backdoor plan that you can cheat or anything like that.
No,
I mean, I'm
of
saying
course not.
Your intention
not.
Isn't to fool around.
No, not at all.
Fool around or anything. It's literally just cuddling as the app is set up to be.
I just want to get my fix and then go home.
I mean, is this any different, Krista, than his favorite food is something you don't cook, so he goes out to a restaurant and gets it?
I mean, no, it doesn't really count.
What do you mean?
It doesn't count.
Food, pizza. He won't leave the house. He just dialed it. So I'm assuming the cuddlers come to my house.
No, they're going to come to work.
No, you can meet.
They're going to come to work. I don't have time to go out there. They're going to come here, and we could cuddle on our denim couch. And then they could be on their way. That way, I won't get murdered. That way, they'll feel safe, and they don't get murdered.
And people in the office can keep an eye on Dave.
Exactly.
To make sure that he's, you
and
know.
It's in a public place.
Playing by the rules.
Everyone feels comfortable.
So, Dave, you would lay down on that couch that you like slept on, by the way. You would lay down on that couch with a perfect stranger and cuddle just in an office setting with other people going about their business at K-Rock around you?
Totally. Why not?
All right. This is getting weird.
Not to mention, he's got a job that he should be doing and not cuddling.
Hey, I could take a break, man. 15 minutes.
People go outside to smoke.
Exactly.
They can cuddle.
I get my cuddle break.
All right, how about if it's at work, Krista? How about that?
Have at it if it's at work.
All right.
Okay.
Have at it.
Right. Kevin, you in?
Is that
what
I'm
doing? Does he need to cuddle?
What? Hey.
What do you want from me?
No, that's
how about.
Up. Hold on.
How about if it's at the motel next door to work?
Ooh, the Seaway? No way, dude.
Yeah,
I'm not going to go
there.
It's got
all the X-rated movies on it.
Yeah, I don't want to go there.
How about a dude?
Is it always mixed sex? That
would take all of it away, Kristen. That would be perfect. He's snuggling with a dude.
Do it.
All right, cuddler up, here I come.
I wonder how most people would rule on this. Because I would guess most would say, like Krista was, probably not.
I mean, it's a long...
That's physical contact, even though it's supposed to mean nothing.
It's kind of along the lines of someone who will not have sex with their spouse, and then the spouse goes, okay, if that's the deal, then I get to go.
Right.
And they go, no.
Right. That's right.
It doesn't seem fair.
Well, let's take do we have time? Can we take some calls on this? Because I would be interested to know if you were in Krista's shoes and you've heard the scenario as it has been laid out to us here this morning, is it okay for Dave to use the Cuddler app, get some non-sexual cuddling out of his system, and then go home and not be pawing Krista to death?
I would ask, is it okay for either one? I would ask for your girl or your guy, whoever is your significant other.
Yeah.
boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife, would it be okay if they use the cuddler app? Just to cuddle. There's no sex.
Just for cuddling. Okay. All right. Let's open up the phone lines. 1-800-520-1067. We want to hear what your ruling would be on this if you were in this situation. Chris, are you going back to sleep?
Yes.
You know Dave's going to drive home and start cuddling you. You know that.
No, this is my cuddle-free time.
Oh, that is your whole life, your cuddle-free time?
Thank you, Krista. Bye now. All right. We'll take your calls. 1-800-520-1067 after this. Talking about the cuddler app where you meet people. And all you do is cuddle. That's it.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Non-sexual.
That's right.
Supposedly.
King of Mexico is having problems. Our producer here on the Kevin and Bean Show has a panda-sized hole in his heart because he likes to cuddle. His girlfriend, Krista, says it's too hot. Although I don't think we had enough appropriate follow-up questions on how is it too hot if they have air conditioning in their apartment.
You did ask if they had air conditioning. Yeah. She said yes.
She said yes.
How do we not follow that up?
So apparently it's still too hot to cuddle with Dave, or Dave is just all hands or something's going on, but Dave is dissatisfied that he's not getting enough cuddling at home. Krista says she doesn't want to do the cuddling, but she's not that crazy about him using the cuddler app to cuddle with someone else. So we're asking you at 1-800-520-1067, what would your ruling be on that if you were in the same situation? And let's start with Stacy. She's on line one. She's in L.A. Hi, Stacy. Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling.
Hi.
Hi.
So you're dude. Cuddle app, yes, no?
No.
No.
No, it's still cheating in a way.
It's still cheating.
How is it cheating? It's completely non-sexual.
Because they're still having physical contact with another woman.
Right. I can...
It's just... Because when you're cuddling, you have your hands all over someone, and your hands could wander. You never know. But
the whole point of this, again, is we're going under the premise that Dave is telling the truth, and I think that he is, that he's not trying to turn it sexual. It's just the cuddling that he misses, that he wants. He's not trying to, you know, put his hands on parts he's not supposed to touch or anything like that. There's no kissing. It's just holding. Still
a
no?
What about the other person?
What about the other? The other dude?
Assuming it's a woman, Kevin.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
So you're saying, what if the other person just can't resist getting in, copping a feel on Dave?
Exactly.
You haven't met Dave. There's no danger of that.
Honestly, I would guess, wow, that's weird. I would guess that you would have a problem with 95% of the guys that want more and 5% of the girls that want more.
I would imagine that's true.
You know what I mean?
The women aren't the thing to worry about.
Yeah. Right.
All right, Stacey, we're going to put you down as a no. You still think it's cheating because of the physical aspects of it. Thank you for the call. We appreciate that. All right, let's go to Melissa. She's up next. She's on line two.
Hey, Melissa.
Hi. It's not cheating because they're both agreeing that it would be okay, but it's not a good idea because you're opening your relationship up for another person to meet the other person's needs. So it's a no. She needs to work on trying to meet his needs. Obviously, it's important. He brought it up to you guys. He's opening himself up to massive scrutiny, but you guys are being cool about it.
Yes, we are, because that's what we do.
It's no.
Okay.
I gotta go.
So do you have a...
Okay, bye. Melissa was in a hurry. Wow.
That is the question, though. Like, people even have said that affairs have saved their marriage because they would have left completely,
right?
Otherwise, and then they fix things. So maybe in a way, this would save Dave's relationship because at some point, if he's not getting what he wants, he may just have to leave.
Right, I agree.
It could be a big deal.
I don't think Dave would. I think he would just sob quietly in the corner.
Well, that seems sad.
So that Melissa, though, said that she was worried that he now meets another woman who's satisfying his needs, and that could lead to trouble in the relationship.
Right.
Would that be the same thing as what if you had a passion on a particular subject or hobby or something like that your spouse had no interest in, and you had a member of the opposite sex that was the person you talked about that stuff or did that stuff with? Same thing, meeting needs that your spouse doesn't meet? Same problem?
Do you have a specific in mind?
And sometimes those things do lead to affairs.
Right.
I mean,
I guess that's the danger.
Take.
Anytime you have some sort of a connection with another person, I guess there's a possibility of it going more, even if you start out, like in the case of the Cuddler app, both going into it expecting that that's not going to happen. All right, let's go to our other Melissa on the line. She's in Canoga Park. She's on line six.
Hi, Melissa.
Hi, how are you guys?
Very good, thanks. Cuddler app.
Okay, so I would be okay with it if it were just cuddling. Like, if it stays at the cuddling rate, totally fine.
I'm not sure if they have, like, a referee there that throws a flag or blows a whistle or something, if something's going on.
My concern would be, like, guys, when they cuddle, they tend to get, like, we
triggers random awkward boners, and that could, like, potentially lead to something else, even if it doesn't start out as that. I mean,
the weird awkward boners, by the way, were at the Troop last night, and they were great.
I hear they're fit. I hear they got a new sound. They retired the banjo player.
That's great.
So you're saying even if you go into it and both parties' intentions are completely platonic, that sometimes human on human just starts a fire.
Yeah.
Look, that can happen. The weird, awkward boners can happen in the wind. They can,
they can at church.
At any point.
At your father's funeral.
So you think it would just be a little bit too weird because of the nature of guys?
Yeah, I think so. And right. I mean, I've been in a relationship a long time. I completely trust my boyfriend. I don't, you know, I'm a cuddler, so he doesn't have to do that.
All right.
But, okay. Yeah, it would still be a little bit weird. But again, if it were just cuddling, you know, that would be fine.
All right. So you're fine with it in principle as long as it stays platonic?
Yes.
Gotcha. All right, Melissa, thanks for the call. Let's do one more. Let's talk to Chris. She's on line 8. I think she's the first one we have with a completely different opinion.
Hey, Chris.
Hey, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Great.
Cuddler app.
I think it's great.
You think it's great? Do you have a boyfriend or husband?
A husband.
Husband, okay. And you'd be cool if he went on Cuddler on the app and found somebody else that he could cuddle with.
As long as there was no sex, yes, definitely.
And you would trust that, and you would believe that, and you would be comfortable and confident in that?
Yeah, because I trust him.
Okay.
All right.
There's Chris. Hmm. She has an evolved relationship, or she's completely living in the dark.
And we'll be divorced soon.
We take you to Florida right now with a man named Doug Wilkie, who might be retired. I don't know what his work situation is, but he definitely has time to write a lot of strongly worded letters to City Hall because he's got a cause.
He's future Bean.
He has a he's present Bean, by the way.
Yeah.
If you saw how often I write the newspaper on the island, he has a cause though. At least he's fighting for something important. At least he's trying to make America a better place because that damned kid next door is running a lemonade stand, and Mr. Wilkie is tired of it, don't you know? Tired of it.
12-year-old kid running a lemonade sale, and this guy has emailed and contacted City Hall many, many times.
Wow.
Trying to get it shut down.
Let's check the news from Dundon, Florida, and see what they're saying.
It may be hard to believe, but a Florida man made it his mission to take down this 12-year-old boy and his lemonade stand. The Tampa Bay Times reports 61-year-old Doug Wilkie had emailed City Hall at least 4 times, citing little TJ Guerrero, for illegal business of selling fresh-baked cookies and lemonade.
But he just doesn't really approve of it, I guess, and he says I bother him and that the traffic is annoying, I guess, but I don't really understand why.
Fortunately, the rest of the neighbors told authorities they had absolutely no problem with the refreshment stand.
And after they ran that story in the paper, hundreds of people started showing up.
He made so much money. Didn't he make like,
like $600 in a day?
Yeah.
That's a lot
that
for a lemonade
sale.
Well, I don't think Mr. Wilkie's intention was to get hundreds of people now to descend on the lemonade stand to increase whatever his complaint was originally. But we thought, let's go right to the man himself. Let's find out what's going on with Doug, who joins us on the phone of the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Doug.
What?
It's Kevin and Bean Show. You talked to our producer off air. We were doing an interview with you.
You have any idea what time it is?
Well, yeah, you're in Florida, though. You're 3 hours ahead. I'm sure you're up.
I don't care with the phone ringing. I don't need the phone ringing. What about the peace and quiet? What about some peace and quiet?
Maybe you should move out of a neighborhood.
I moved into a neighborhood.
No, I know, but I'm saying in the neighborhood you have neighbors.
Yeah, I know I have neighbors. You know what I didn't move into? A mini mall. I didn't expect them to be selling cookies and lemonade outside my house 24 hours a day. If I wanted that, I would have moved into a freaking 7-Eleven.
But isn't he just a little 12-year-old who's out there, you know, like in the afternoon just trying to make a few bucks to buy a bike?
Oh, you know what? That's how it starts. Next thing you know, he's selling cookies. He's selling lemonade. Oh, he's selling heroin!
That's a pretty big leap.
Is it?
Yes. Have you never... Have you never seen a lemonade sale other than the kid next door? Because
listen.
It's not that big a deal.
I don't care how old he is. All I know is he's running a business in front of my house illegally. You hear me? Illegally. He has no permits. There's no health inspectors. People come and die all day and night buying cookies and lemonade, if you want to call it. I like to call it crack.
Why do you suppose it is that all of the other neighbors that you live near are fine with the lemonade stand? They've got no problems with what the kid's doing.
Oh, I don't know. Oh, I don't know what's wrong with the idiots. They're all idiots. And I'm the only one who makes any sense. And this kid's out there, oh, making all kinds of money. Is he paying taxes? I don't think so. I'm paying taxes.
But, sir, he's 12. I mean, he's just a kid.
Oh, he's just a kid.
And he's not doing it in front of your house. He's doing it in front of his house.
He's a kid. I'm a grown-up. Right. All right? I fought in a war.
Okay, fine.
I deserve a little peace and quiet. And this neighborhood out with the birds singing and the grass growing and people walking up and down the sidewalks. What do I have to do to get some peace? Oh, hold on a second. There's this guy again. This. Oh.
What's happening? What's going on?
Hey, get some oil for your goddamn wheelchair.
Oh.
That old lady in her wheelchair wheels by my house every day in the morning. Hey, how fast can you wheel?
Oh, Mr. Wilkie, come on.
How about some noise in this neighborhood?
That's absurd.
Yeah.
No, stop it.
That'll get her moving.
Don't shoot at the lady in the wheelchair.
I didn't shoot at her. I shot over her head. I'm not an animal.
What did you think about once the story was made public, hundreds of other people from around the state coming to buy lemonade from your neighbor?
Yeah, communists.
Communists?
That's right.
It's sort of the opposite of communists.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
No, they're all coming to spread the wealth. Oh, that makes me sure everybody can just do whatever the hell they want. Let's forget about all the rules and regulations. They're communists, just like Hitler was.
He wasn't a communist. You understand? He was a Nazi, right?
Whatever bad thing he was, they're all like him.
You're shooting a weapon. Isn't that worse than the 12-year-old selling lemonade?
Oh, I'm not selling the weapon, am I?
No, but you're shooting a gun.
Well, yes, sure I am. It's Florida.
It is Florida. We forgot about that.
Good point. Some excellent air drumming.
Seriously, I was very impressed by that.
Excellent.
Not even your song.
Going on right there.
The guys from Milky Chance are here in studio on the Kevin and Bean Show, and they were just singing along and air drumming on that song like it was one of theirs. Welcome to K-Rock, you guys. How are
Hello.
You?
Hello. Good morning. We're good.
You were just telling us, as the song ended, that this is your first time in America ever. When did you arrive?
Last Friday? No.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm here for more than a month because I came here in 1st of September to
explore
the West Coast.
To explore the West Coast?
Yeah, just to
It was on
relax.
It was just vacation?
It was vacation, yeah.
Huh. And then you stayed?
And then I stayed.
Did you ask for political asylum?
Yeah.
What do you guys – I'm always fascinated to hear from people who are seeing America for the first time because no matter where you grow up in the world, like in your case, Germany, you see a lot of America on television and in the movies. And that's what most people think it's like. So when you get here, was there anything you were surprised by once you actually made it to the States?
Well, not really surprised. I mean, everything is much bigger. For me, like, if you go outside on the streets, like, it seems to be bigger, like the streets and the sidewalks and everything. But it's cool.
But it's like MTV.
Crazy and lovely. So.
Okay. Do you come from a small town?
Yes.
Yeah.
We come from a small town in the green. So.
How many people live there?
200,000.
200,000.
Okay.
I understand you went to In-N-Out Burger since you've been in Southern California. What did you think of that?
Well, we kind of make a list.
Yeah.
Things you have to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In-N-Out is good, but it's not the first.
No, it's not the first. Five Guys is better.
Oh, Five Guys.
Oh, Five Guys.
Five Guys is pretty good.
Look, yeah. Five Guys is good. Let's not go better.
It's good.
All right. All right.
Look, we might have to throw down
That's
here.
Good.
I don't know.
But the best one we got... at the hotel, what was the name?
Great.
It's
Gravies?
Like a burger shop in a train.
In a train?
In an old train.
Carney's.
That's cool.
Carney's. Oh. Carney's.
That was the best burger.
It's
hard
cool.
to believe that Beer Mug had the name of a restaurant at his fingers. Well done. So you've been. It sounds like you've been eating pretty well. Now, will you go to Disneyland while you're here?
No, I didn't think so.
No.
I mean, if we would have the time, I don't think that we would have gone to the Disneyland.
Okay. But you are playing on the Jimmy Kimmel Live TV show tonight, so at least you're doing something fun in town.
That's really cool. That'll be good.
Well, let's talk a little bit about Milky Chance. You guys have been working together, playing music together for what, about 5 years or so, maybe?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, making music together for 5 years. Yeah.
Uh-huh. And you're only 21 now. That's what's amazing to me. I mean, there's no way you expected to have a big international hit song and album at this stage in your career, right?
No. Yeah. No. We never expected anything. So
how did you get your music heard by people at the beginning? Were you one of those bands who put it up on YouTube and it just caught fire that way?
Classic YouTube band.
Yeah, I looked yesterday and it has like almost 80 million views.
Right.
Yeah?
Yes.
Oh, nice.
It's just crazy.
That's awesome.
That's like $20 for you guys.
Tech bar.
I mean, you certainly did get into the music industry at the worst possible time in all of history. If the plan is to make a lot of money, but I assume that's not why you do it.
No, that's not our plan.
It's not about the money.
You guys met at an advanced music course, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just said who's not a dork, and you kind of found each other.
Yeah, it was like first day in school, and you're checking out your neighbors and your schoolmates. Then we were three guys hanging around together.
This guy could be
then you
cool.
killed the other one.
Yeah.
No. Well, you'd rather only split $20 two ways instead of three, Kevin. If you have a choice. Do you remember the first time you played outside of the school environment? The first time you played music for the public.
Well,
it must be sometime.
Somewhere, someday. It was.
You don't remember?
We started like. Pretty early to play also on the street. Like we made street music a lot. So yeah.
Oh, interesting. Did you do a lot of covers when you started?
Yeah.
Because you didn't
at the beginning,
of
yeah,
at
of
the
course.
Beginning, just like we started with Ray Charles and Sting.
Ray Charles?
Yeah. Sting. We played a lot of old
tunes.
Old shit.
We were into
really?
Jazz to that time a lot, yeah.
So. And the other day on a radio interview, you did a Miley Cyrus cover too. So you can sing lots of different kinds of music.
Yeah, we did a reggae ball version. The reggae ball.
Who are your favorite musical artists? Who are the ones that you personally love the most?
We don't have like favorite. Put someone on the top.
Yeah, but there are a lot of artists that I really appreciate and love listening to.
Very diplomatic answer.
Yeah.
I got to say.
Yeah, I know.
Music is, I don't know, it's hard in music too.
It's because we just love to listen to music in general, and we had a very good education in music. We were singing in a choir. We went to music class, so we had all this theoretical stuff and history, music history, classic music. Everything.
Fancy. So, did you wear your hair like that then in the choir?
Yeah.
Always worn your hair like that?
Yeah. There's some videos existing on YouTube.
They
I just found them
in a choir with that hair.
Yeah.
It's like nobody could stand on either side of them because there needs to be space.
Yeah. I was always in the last lane. Yeah.
Look, Kevin, you've long respected the white afro.
I have. But this is a spiky afro. I love it.
Yeah, it's impressive. All right. So you played the Troubadour on Monday night. How did you find that audience? Were they nice to you?
Yes.
They were pretty nice. Crazy, freaking out.
Pretty okay, cool. Great. Tomorrow night you're going to be in San Francisco, and then this weekend you're going to be in Las Vegas, I assume, for the first time ever?
First time ever.
Yes.
And that will kill you.
How long are you going to stay there?
All right.
All right. Some time.
It's only one day. We will arrive in the morning and fly back in the evening.
That's bad planning. That's somebody trying to protect you. You need to stay another day.
Yeah.
Just maybe another day.
Next year.
Just another day.
We'll come back next year.
All right.
Okay. I think that's great. All right. The song you've been hearing on Kerik is called Stolen Chance. The album
or
is...
Dance.
Dance, right.
Stolen Chance.
The album is Milky Chance, Stolen Dance. I'm sorry, right. Meyer. And the album is Sad Necessary, right?
Sad Necessary.
Record that's available everywhere for download. And the guys are going to perform live for us, if you can believe it. They're going to move one studio over, and we're going to hear what they sound like at 8:30 in the morning, which we apologize in advance for making you do this so early, you guys.
It's different.
We're happy to have you. We'll do that next.
Kevin, you there?
Go for it, Bean. His mic's not working.
His mic's not working. All right. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here on K-Rock. We have the band Milky Chance with us in the studio next door. They're going to be performing live a couple of songs. Of course, the album's out now called Sad Necessary. Do we know what song we're going to be hearing first?
Stone Dance.
Well, good choice. Please enjoy. Thank you.
By my side, so that I never feel alone again. They've always been so kind, but now they've got you away from me. I hope they didn't get your mind. You're always too soon anyway. We need to fast back the time. They stolen from us. And I want you, we can bring it down the floor. You never danced like this before. We don't talk about it, dancing on, doing the boogie all night long. Stoned in paradise, shouldn't talk about it. I want you, we can bring it down the floor. You never danced like this before. Talk about it, dancing on, doing the boogie all night long. Stoned in paradise, shouldn't talk about it, shouldn't talk about it, yeah. Y'all listen to for me, the sunshine and the only thing I feel is pain, just by absence of you. Suspense controlling my mind. I cannot find the way out of here, and I want you by my side, so that I never feel alone again. Want you, we can bring it on the floor. You never danced like this before. We don't talk about it, dancing on, doing the boogie all night long. Stoned in paradise, shouldn't talk about it. I want you, we can bring it on the floor. You never danced like this before. We don't talk about it, dancing on, doing the boogie all night. Shouldn't talk about it, yeah.
Come on, how about that?
That sounded great. Fantastic. Sounded really good, you guys. Wow.
Hey, we're not going to let them go without asking about the name, are we?
Oh, we've been making fun of this name since we first started playing your song. And I bet you wish now you'd picked a different name, right, guys?
The name of your band, Milky Chance. Where did that come from?
Well, from nowhere. I don't know.
From nowhere? Okay.
No, I just created that name when I was younger for fun. When we started out.
Were you thinking of band names that you might...
Yeah, well, yeah. But I was young on that day, so that is why it sounds that weird.
All right. I'm good with that. I'm happy with that. You guys going to do another one here?
Yeah, of course.
All right. What do you got?
Fast Drunk Mike.
Fantastic. Milky Chance.
We were young souls on the young, yeah. We are stern minds, filled with junkies, but no fear will be just like mine. No fear will be all the time. And we've gone to the city.
life and shite and fall into the night. Focused on what you feel, to send you cold in the love that day. And we were bound to the city life and shite and fall into the night. Focused on what you feel, to send you cold in the love that day. Yeah, yeah. On the tongue, yeah, yeah. No, we are still my age. Fair of junk, yeah. But I feel all day, yeah. Just like mine. And I feel all day, yeah. All the time. The city life that shines in the fall and into the night. Focused on what you feel, to send you a child and a love that died. And we were bound to the city life that shines in the fall and into the night. Focused on what you feel, to send you a child and a love that died. Yeah, yeah.
Milky Chance, live on
K-Rock. Good stuff. Good stuff right there, everybody.
Fantastic.
Thank you, Clemens, so much. Thank you, Philip. Have fun in San Francisco. Have fun in Las Vegas. I hope you enjoy the rest of your time in America. We'll see you again next time, okay?
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
And it's time to talk to an old friend of ours who we haven't spoken to in months.
It's been a few months,
at least. 4 or 5 months. Yeah. Doto?
Yeah.
Yeah, that is you. Yeah.
We have been talking. It's almost about since August.
Has it been that long?
Since August.
Yeah.
Well, you've been traveling around the world, haven't you, Doe?
Yeah, Kevin.
Yeah,
that's
Ralph.
That was Ralph. Doe's the international man of mystery. He travels with his parents, or dad, all around the world. You were teaching English for a while, is that correct?
No, I was helped manage a school, Kevin.
Help manage a school, okay. Oh. We got some emails from you recently that were a little troubling.
Yeah.
Where have you been traveling recently, Doe?
I was in Hong Kong, Kevin Bean.
Okay. Okay.
And I was in China.
China, too.
I'm just looking for some opportunities. Just check with the old man.
What sort of opportunities are you looking for?
Import-export investments.
Yeah.
Are you a secret agent? Yeah. What is import-export investments? That sounds like a cover.
Mm-hmm. Everyone says that.
Are you carrying out missions for the government?
Nope.
Are you a hitman for the CIA?
Nope. Mm-hmm. Why would I do that, Kevin?
Because James Bond always said he was in the import-export business. Right. That's why I just thought you might be a secret agent.
Bean's on jury duty, right, Kevin?
He is, yeah. Yes.
Try to stay with us here, though, okay? Try to follow along. But also, something that concerns us and makes us think you may be a secret agent is we got an interesting email from you.
Yeah, and it's written to Lightning. And before I read this, I'd just like you to know, Doe, that I've always been a fan of yours.
Yes, Kevin.
Lightning, not so much so.
Right.
Okay, but here's the email. Jay, it's Lightning's first name. I have a permit to carry a gun in the state of California. Just got a few months ago. Does that concern you?
Well, as long as you're responsible about it, it wouldn't be concerned. If you're irresponsible, then that would be an issue, Kevin.
Okay, but when you write an email to somebody and say, I got a permit to carry a gun, does that concern you? Is that a threat?
No, I don't think so.
Should he be concerned?
Nope.
Because if I were him, I would be concerned. If I were me, I would have nothing to worry about. But if I were Lightning, I think I would be concerned.
I don't think there's anything to be concerned about as long as I'm pretty mature about it. If I'm not mature about it, then there would be a prop, Kevin.
Well, you're nothing not mature. We know that.
That's right. But how do we know if you're going to be mature about it or not?
Yeah, what if you get upset about something?
Well, at least, come on, everybody, well, if I'm upset, at least I know how to control my temper or my anger.
But Kevin, no, you don't.
You just killed a dude in Thailand or something, didn't you? Didn't you stalk a guy and then smash his head in?
Nope.
Then why would you write me an email detailing how you stalked a guy, waited at his house, and killed him with by smashing his head in?
That was months ago, Kevin.
Well, it still counts.
We're not saying...
I don't care how long ago you murdered somebody. It still counts.
We're not saying it happened now. It just we're a little concerned. Because when you get an email detailing that, and then you changed your story and said, no, you were just exaggerating, and now you're carrying a gun, you have a license to carry a gun, you know...
You're a little worried.
If you had a gun the day you allegedly stalked the dude and hit him in the head, you know... Should we be scared?
Well, at this point, let's, Kevin being the bet, Kevin?
Yes.
Should you be scared? That's pretty subjective, Kevin, but at least I'm not going to do anything stupid, but why would I want to jeopardize my life, Kevin?
Well, we're just saying you've proven in the past that you have some problems controlling your temper, and if you have a firearm, that's a bad combination.
Dope.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Kevin.
Yeah,
don't be sorry.
Not only did you write me a letter detailing how you killed someone, Doto, with your hands, but let's not forget that you ended up in prison in the Orient because of your fist fight, all stemming from your bad temper because someone was picking on you.
This was at the bar, Kevin and me.
But that doesn't change anything.
Yeah, we didn't swear.
You have a gun now, and if you were in that situation with your firearm, what's to say you wouldn't use it?
Do you have a weapon, Doto?
Yeah.
You have a weapon.
Yeah.
Okay. What kind of weapon is it? A pistol?
Could be.
Okay.
Easy. Easy, mystery man.
And you say you're licensed.
It's like it's a permit, Lisa.
Yeah. How did you get a permit to carry a gun, by the way?
Well, I applied months ago, and you have to go through a long process.
Okay. And you went through the whole process, and they said, yes, this is the guy we think will be.
State of California said, yes.
Responsible.
We want Doto carrying a gun.
I know they're pretty rigid when it comes to granting license, Kevin.
But right. Don't you have to have some sort of reason, like you transport large sums of money, or there's some sort of safety factors where you have a legitimate reason to carry a concealed weapon?
Huh. I thought it was extremely was hard question. To get a permit to carry a concealed weapon.
Heard.
Extremely difficult.
Did they come back to you and say, yes, you can, or did you just move on?
They told me that we can, but we'll let you have it on a temporary being for the cease. Like a temporary permit, Kevin.
A temporary permit. Okay, so then you went out and got what type of weapon?
Do I have to disclose it, Kevin?
Well, no.
What difference does it make?
If it's not illegal, what difference does it make?
I'm not sure what's the name, Kevin. I have to check.
I think it's a .45 caliber, like you clearly wrote in another email.
How dangerous is a .45 caliber?
Very! If you don't know how dangerous it is, you shouldn't be carrying a weapon.
Doko, is it a concealed weapons permit?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I don't think it is. I don't think there's any way he got a
weapon to carry,
permit.
That, there's only one. That means you can conceal it on your body. That's what the weapon to permit to carry is.
You can go through the check process so that you can buy a gun.
Right. You can own one, right?
You can own one.
But a permit to carry is very different.
I don't think he has that. I don't believe him.
Do you have that, Doto?
Have what?
Permit to carry the gun.
So you say that getting a permit is pretty rare, Kevin?
It's almost impossible. I'm saying you have a license to own it, but you are not allowed to carry it on you.
So that's only granted to what type? So the percentage is not likely, right?
Yeah, and it's not cross-eyed immigrants.
Oh, easy.
Hey, Psycho Mike, what's wrong with you?
He's not a citizen, and he has horrible vision, and he's trying to see.
And he has a weapon.
He's got a .45. What are you nuts?
That's what I'm saying. Like, how does he think he's in
be
the
nice.
He meets the criteria.
Psycho Mike at krock.com, by the way, Doto.
What's going to do, email him a bullet?
I'm just letting them know who's speaking.
Kevin, Dean, Kevin.
Yes, yes.
I'll be going to Hong Kong in a couple of weeks, Kevin.
Okay.
You're not allowed to take guns with you.
I know that, Lisa. Don't worry about that. I don't take anything.
You don't take the weapon with you?
Nope. Why would I know Kevin?
Right, or maybe you should try to take it on a plane.
Come on, Ralph. Don't be nuts, Ralph.
That
might
be interesting.
Don't be nuts.
It'd be an interesting experiment to see if Doto could get away with it.
Doto, it seems like the only time you've ever needed something like a gun is when you're overseas.
Yeah, true.
That's when you get into trouble.
Well, look, I never have it overseas, Lisa.
Okay, Doto. Here,
I think no answers here. A lot of questions.
I think here's our point. If we could just narrow it down to one thing.
Okay.
You shouldn't have a weapon.
That's all?
Yeah.
Well, I thought that the Second Amendment is that people can have a camera.
Right? Yes.
People who have control of themselves.
In general, that's true, but that doesn't necessarily mean that the people will have that have a weapon should have it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, Kevin.
Yeah, it also says there's a right to free speech, but still, we have to watch what we say.
Yeah, I know that, Kevin.
On the radio, because we have a responsibility to.
Yeah, we all know that, Ralph. FCC regulation.
Exactly. Right. So the Bill of Rights is not absolute. And we're saying
the Bill of Rights is kind of a gray area, right, Ralph?
Not gray, but in this particular case, I think it's better if you just don't follow the whole Second Amendment.
Simple as that, right, Ralph?
For your own self, you know,
protection. Yeah. Sure.
Right. That's all.
Lightning, I met a Korean woman.
Okay.
Did you just say lightning? I met a Korean woman.
Yes,
yeah,
did.
The email.
I was having conversations with other people,
but we haven't. Lightning's not in here.
Yeah, I know that, Ralph.
Kevin.
Okay. Seriously.
So you have a woman? Is she 5'8", 5'9"?
She's like about 5'7".
5'7". Oh, way too short.
Yeah, she's a stewardess, flight attendant.
Oh,
yeah.
I see.
Did you meet her at gunpoint?
No, I met her at the lounge in Korea.
Has she seen your weapon?
Nope.
That was a euphemism.
What do you mean by you have a girl? Like, I mean, are you keeping her?
In your trunk?
Or is she still in Korea?
When I was at the lounge, Kevin, I met her, I got her number, then right. She flies back and forth to L.A. So when she's in L.A., okay. I went out with her a few times.
I see. Okay. All right. We have a lot of phone calls on hold. We don't have time to put them on, but all of them are saying the same thing, which is basically you can't have a concealed permit unless you know the sheriff or some loophole.
It's very difficult to get. Mm-hmm.
So we're suggesting perhaps sell the weapon.
We'll get it, right, Kevin?
I just think in this particular case, you might be best to ignore the Second Amendment. See, Senorita?
Yes, Kevin.
Okay.
Or clean it vigorously with a round in the chamber. That's the other thing we're suggesting.
One or the other. All right, Doe, we got to run, but give up the weapon.
Tell Beat I need a babe.
Okay, well, our work is done here. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it's the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:38.
We've got Coachella tickets for you all this week here on K-Rock, starting this hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. You can win them in about 10 minutes or so, so stick around for that. I was watching 60 Minutes last night, and they had an interview, first one I've seen, with the attorney that is going to be representing Saddam Hussein.
Right, right.
Now, you think you've got a tough job representing Michael Jackson, okay? Imagine representing Saddam. Talk about a guy with an image problem. That would be pretty tough. And it was really interesting because he was talking about all the people he wants to call as witnesses, people like Donald Rumsfeld and the first President Bush and all these people he's going to try to. I mean, this trial could just be a circus when it finally happens.
You think it. I mean, it probably will be. Let's face it. That's the way some attorneys get their clients off is by making it a complete circus.
He can't possibly get this client off, can he?
Listen.
You
would certainly hope not, right? I mean, you would certainly hope that there's no possible way he could get off.
Okay, so you watch the practice. Maybe they'll plan B him. I don't know what's going to happen.
Sure,
but
it could happen.
God, I mean, but can you imagine being that guy? Yeah, honey, listen, I got to go meet with Saddam today. I got a bit of a gig. And imagine being Saddam Hussein, by the way, who, I mean, let's face it, for normal people to go to jail, it must be an amazing transformation. But when you're the leader of a country, And you're a dictator.
You have everything.
Yes.
You have everything, and your will gets followed to a T, and for 30 years, and all of a sudden now you're in jail. Can you imagine how much that would blow?
Yep. Your whole life is now three hots and a cot, and that's all you got. Well, we thought we'd get an update from Saddam Hussein, who apparently Lightning has the phone number in the Rolodex, so we have the president on the phone right now. Mr. Hussein, good morning.
Hello, President Hussein's office.
Is this Saddam Hussein?
This is the president's secretary.
Saddam, you don't have a secretary. You're not still the president.
Yes, I do. Would you like to talk to the president?
Yes, please.
Yes,
okay.
But the president.
Here's the quote. He's
1 second, please.
He's writing daily. He's always demanding pens and paper, and he still thinks he's the president, according to this article. Yeah.
President Hussein here.
Saddam, was that you doing the voice of your secretary?
No, that is, don't be crazy.
It sounded like a guy was talking real high to make it sound like he had a secretary.
No, that was my secretary.
You don't have
Alice,
a secretary.
Her name is Alice.
I don't think her name is Alice either,
is.
By the way.
Alice, can you get me some coffee? Yes, I will get you coffee, sir. Thank you, Alice.
You're in jail. You don't have an office. You don't have a secretary. You don't have a job. You're just a prisoner.
President's office, how can I help you?
You're no longer the president.
President's office, how can I help you?
You're not even in Iraq anymore.
Hey. Talk to me as president or we don't talk.
All right, sir.
All right, then. What can I do for you?
Is it difficult to be the president of Iraq when you're in jail?
It is not difficult. I am still president of Iraq. I am very busy being president. You are cutting into my important presidential time.
Okay, here's a good...
I have a cabinet meeting going on here, and you are bothering me with silly questions.
Okay, and how do you do the cabinet meeting? How does that work
exactly? I have my cabinet here with me. All right, everyone who votes that we do rededication of my statue... Vote aye.
Mr. President.
We're rededicating my statue. We're putting it back up.
Saddam.
Having a big party for my rededication of statue.
Saddam.
I want Van Halen to play in my rededication ceremony.
Saddam, there's not...
Okay, I will get Van Halen for you. And I want the real one with Diamond David Lee Roth, not Sammy Hagar. All right, sir. I will get to work on that right away. Thank you, Commissioner Machach.
What's his name?
Commissioner Machach.
Yeah. Wow, it sounds to me like you've been spending a little bit too much time alone and you're starting to have delusions, Mr. President.
That's right. I take umbrage to that statement, my friend. And now you will die, you American Yankee pig dog.
Well, you don't really have the power that you used to have, is the point.
Hold on, my phone is ringing.
That's not a phone.
Hello? Yes, okay, one moment. Sir? Yes, Alice? There's a phone call for you, Mr. Bob Woodward, the writer of a book on the phone. Okay, I'll take it. Hello, Bob, how are you? Yes, I will. Yes, Bush is a lying poopy head. Yes, you can quote me on that for your next book, Slamming the American Pig Dog Poopy Head Bush.
Wow.
Okay, goodbye. Click.
I think solitary confinement is getting to the man.
Yeah,
hello, can I have, who's this?
Yeah, it's Kevin and B. We're still on the phone.
Oh, Kevin and B, congratulations. I'm so glad you called.
I see.
I want to give you key to the city.
What city?
Fallujah.
You don't have the key to the city anymore.
I do. I have the key to the city of Fallujah.
I don't want it. Thank you, though.
I'd like you to go there.
No, yeah, I bet you would. I bet you'd love
you
to see
go
us.
There and do a wacky comedy remote from Fallujah.
Right. We're not going
to
do that, though.
And blow you up.
Now, Saddam, it says here that you're writing daily. You're almost always demanding pens and paper.
I'm very busy here. Work.
What are you? What are you writing?
I am writing all the new laws for Iraq. All the new regulations that we're passing. I am writing down where the other weapons of mass destruction are
that you haven't
found yet. I have to keep all these things straight because it is very busy work being a president.
And who are you giving those papers to once you write them?
To my cabinet, everyone here, all my people that work with me. Yes, he does. He gives that to me all the time.
Yes, he's very good about giving us memos.
We have them and we have to read them all the time.
He's a very good president. I like him a lot.
See, everyone here agrees.
Yeah, it sounds unanimous. Now, Mr. President, do you have access to a TV? Do you see what's going on back in Iraq?
No, unfortunately, they do not give me TV privileges.
But I thought you were the president.
Yes, but I gave a presidential order, no more TV for me.
Oh, I see.
So I can focus on running my country and keep myself sharp as tack.
How long are you going to have to be in jail before you realize that you are no longer the president?
I am under the spot here. It is very hard for me to come up with an answer.
Yeah, I understand.
I'm not as quick on my feet as I like to think I am.
Sure.
I don't know. Dick Cheney and I will have to talk together.
Yeah, you are definitely confused. I think it's going to be quite eye-opening for you when you find yourself on trial in a few months.
Hold on.
More
crying.
Hang on. Oh, geez. Here we go again.
Hello? Yes, the president's office. Okay, one moment. Sir, this is for you. It's President Bush apologizing, saying he was wrong. Tell him I'm not interested in his apologies. He will die. Okay.
I'm sorry. It's not anything to apologize. You will die. Bye. Click.
Okay. Even now your president is saying he was wrong.
Saddam, let me ask you a question. Instead of hearing the click sound, we actually hear the English word click. Why does that happen? How does that happen?
Don't be silly. I am president.
Okay. All right. You're president.
All right. Now I'm going to make a note of you. Kevin must die.
Okay. Now you're in trouble.
Presidential decree. Kill okay. Kevin. You are on the list. Now you're in big trouble.
Okay. Thank you, Saddam, for talking to us today. We appreciate
it. President Saddam.
Yes, President Saddam.
Thank you. All goodbye. Right.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Over-the-Top Carb Counter.
Mr. Over-the-Top Carb Counter.
Brushing aside such follies as work and family, you wisely adopted carbo counting as your primary pastime.
I'm crying!
Oh, it's the most wonderful time of the year. It's a Christmas miracle. It's a holiday treat. The second best human in the world, ladies and gentlemen, just stepped into the Kevin and Bean Studios. Put it together for Mr. Skin.
Mr. Skin.com.
How you been, Mr. Skin?
Doing great. Yeah, this is a busy time of the year for me. Very
well,
busy.
I know it is. Yeah, because, I mean, how can you not look back at the wonderful 12 months behind us and the year in nudity in movies and in TV shows? I want to ask you about a couple of things before we get into your list here, if you have some time.
Sure.
MrSkin.com has been, for folks who don't know, has been on the internet for how long now?
Well, we just celebrated our 15th anniversary in August.
Wow.
Yeah, it is. When you think of websites, I mean, we're older than YouTube, MySpace, you know, all that, Facebook. It's pretty incredible. And the thing that's most incredible is in our 15th year, this year has been our best year in our history. And you would think, oh, with all the free stuff out there. Or,
yeah, true.
You know, why would someone go to a website where you have to have a membership? But no, we've been best year ever, which is great.
What do you attribute it to then?
So much more nudity.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting.
It's so different now. When I started the website, you had movie nudity. And then, you know, The Sopranos were just starting and there was a few places you could see television nudes. But think about it now. There's original programming on the Starz Network, Cinemax, Showtime, and tons of it.
Yeah.
Then all the commercial TV, to me, that's been the biggest change, where it used to be if there were commercials, no nudity, right? That's how it went.
That was always the rule, yeah.
Now look at FX with the shows on FX. Look at even the Sci-Fi Network. I was telling someone, WGN America has a show called Salem where girls are getting naked. WGN America.
And that's as wholesome and as Midwest as a channel can be.
Exactly. And then not to mention Netflix with Orange is the New Black and House of Cards. You have such a bigger pool where celebrity nudity is happening that there's so much more work. I'm not complaining, but there's so much more stuff to cover for us. So the good news is when we do a top 10 nude scenes of the year list, it's quite a list.
Yeah, indeed. And am I right about this? It seems to me like actresses are more high-profile actresses are willing to do nudity now than ever before.
They have more avenues in which to do it. If you were an up-and-coming actress back in the 70s or 80s, the only real place you could do a nude scene would be in a movie. And you know, it's hard to get into a movie. You could get into a crappy movie and be naked, which a lot of actresses did. Now,
let's not disparage that.
Well, no, hey, listen, it's the heart and soul of our website. But now you have these great television series on a weekly basis that are, in fact, they're almost like, you watch Game of Thrones, an hour of Game of Thrones is like watching a movie. It's good.
It's a prestige project. I mean,
totally.
It's nothing but A-plus on your resume.
And there's so many more places for actresses to be on shows like that and the opportunity to be naked. So it's great. Great for business.
USA! USA! USA!
You've talked to us in the past, Mr. Skin, about the actresses that people most want to see naked. And I know when we do the top 10 nude scenes of the year, one of those is on the list this year, which is very exciting. But how does something like the celebrity nude photo hack affect the desire? Like, for instance, Jennifer Lawrence is a great example. less people, fewer people want to see Jennifer Lawrence now because they've kind of seen it already, or does it not affect what goes on at your site or not?
It's possible.
Doesn't affect me.
Yeah, exactly. let me tell you, if Jennifer Lawrence was in a movie and did a full frontal nude scene, are you going to tell me because you might have stumbled across those pictures, you don't want to see that? I don't think so. The big thing, as terrible as that was, and I don't – listen, what I do at MrSkin.com is review nudity from movies and television where actresses willingly appear, right? I'm not about posting –
voluntary and it's legal. Exactly.
Right. No, and I'm not about that. But I will say that the traffic to the websites that actually posted that stuff was so overwhelming. It just proves, again, that celebrity nudity is where it's at. As much as people love porn – more than porn, people want to see famous people naked. They'd rather see someone they know than someone they don't know nude.
Well, look, the two biggest adult videos of all time, aren't they Kim Kardashian and Paris Hilton? Because right. They're famous people, right?
Right, and there's plenty of women that were maybe more beautiful than them or did stuff more, you know, that was dirtier or crazier.
Or yet have Ray J in front of the camera for 80% of it.
Right. But, of course, when it's someone you know or someone that's famous, way more people are going to want to see that versus the same type of scene from someone that's anonymous.
Let's not disparage anonymous either, though.
Take it easy.
I'm not happy
with your tone.
Mr. Skin is here from MrSkin.com, by the way, a database of 16,500 actress bios, more than 28,500 movie and TV shows review, and they have just put together their top 10 nude scenes of the year, and we're going to run them down with Mr. Skin when we return right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show at K-Rock.
Mr. Skin. All right, that's all we have time for.
Mr. Skin is here. There's twice a year that we have you on that we're always excited about. One is you do the Anatomy Awards in the spring, and then about this time of year, you count down the top 10 nude scenes of the year. So this is a combination of movies and television, and it's a great mix this year because it's got some white-hot actresses. It's got some people we've been waiting for a long time to do nudity. A couple of new names in there to me. Why don't we start it at number 10, Mr. Skin, and tell us what you and the staff came up with.
That is Cameron Diaz in Sex Tape. This is that movie she did with Jason Segel where they film a sex tape. It's just supposed to be for them. It accidentally gets uploaded by the knucklehead husband up to a cloud, and then they got to reel it back in. Here's the surprising thing. Did you know Cameron Diaz, this is her first nude scene? She's 41 years old. I think people would be surprised by that.
I didn't know
Absolutely.
That.
Yeah, because she's so good-looking and has been in so many R-rated movies, you'd think we'd have seen her nude before, but this was her first time.
Huh. Is it just butt or boobs, too?
It's a boob, and you do see right breast during the filming of the sex tape.
Boob. It's just one.
Just boob.
Just one.
And then a great butt scene as she gets out of bed. But unfortunately, warning, you do have to see Jason Segel's butt, too.
So. Yeah.
Sort of she does look fantastic. I know 41 isn't old or anything,
right.
But she looks great. Yes. She looks really good in this scene. All right. Number 9, one of the hottest, most popular actresses for people of all ages, Shailene Woodley. Now, this is a film I'm not familiar with, Mr. Skin.
Yeah, White Bird and a Blizzard. It's a good little movie, but I think most people in your audience would know her from Divergent, or was George Clooney's daughter in The Descendants, Fault of Our Stars also. So she's starting to become a real player. She's only 23 years old, and in this movie, she's topless in bed about 30 minutes in, and it's a real hot scene. And now I started you guys out with a 41-year-old nude. Now we're at a 23. So right away we got a nice spectrum of age. And I know a lot of guys have been waiting to see Shailene Woodley topless. So
she's a great actress too, by the way.
Yep.
All right, number 8.
Whatever.
I don't watch Game of Thrones, but man, I hear a lot about blood and a lot about boobs on that show.
Oh, what so many boobs.
Oh, so many. And now this girl isn't a big name. Her name's Natalie Emanuel. And for any of your audience out there that's a Game of Thrones fan, she plays the handmaiden, like the assistant to Khaleesi, the mother of dragons. So she's that beautiful, exotic-looking girl. She's part black and a lot of different nationalities, and gorgeous, gorgeous woman. This scene, her and the girls are cleaning their clothes in the river while the gray worm spies on them. No jokes there. But it's of all the great nude scenes in Game of Thrones this year, this was the best. And anyone who's a fan of the show probably remembers this scene.
Are you responsible for these words? Looks like she's a member of House Stark. Stark naked.
That's my writer's stick. but the sense of humor is my sense of humor. They've been told what is acceptable and what is not. So.
Well, it's skinsational if you want my opinion.
All right. Thank you.
Number 7, one of our favorite shows here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Tell us about it.
Well, it's Kerry Russell and the Americans, and this is an example of why things are different today. Because, you know, you're watching the Americans, you have commercials. So you come out of a commercial, and there it is, Kerry Russell laying completely naked on a bed, stomach down, the cameras from above. And this episode aired on April 2nd, and I knew when I saw it, this is going to be top 10 material. She's best known as the girl in Felicity,
yeah.
And she had that great run. She was super popular. Then she cuts her hair, and her career kind of, it was a little touch and go there for a while. Great rebound on the Americans. Great butt on the Americans.
Yes, yeah. Both. What a great show, too, by the way. I can't wait for that to come back next
year.
Cool. All right, number 6. How difficult was it to narrow down a scene from Masters of Sex? Aren't half the people on that show naked half the time?
Yeah, Bean, you know your nudity because Lizzie Kaplan in Masters of Sex is our number 6 of the best nude scenes of the year. And this episode aired on July 27th. And, of course, this is about Masters and Johnson, the sex researchers, the pioneers. You know, they kicked off the sexual revolution in the 60s. But she plays Virginia Johnson. And you're right. There's so much nudity on that show. If you don't mind a bunch of wires and tape when they're doing their experiments.
I can ignore that.
Yeah, you could ignore it. But Lizzie Kaplan is so good as Virginia Johnson. And this scene in the hotel room with Michael Sheen was, of all the nudity being for this season, best nude scene of the year was Lizzie Kaplan undressing in the hotel room.
Number 5, a huge star in a movie a lot of people didn't see.
Yep, and that's as I've been doing this list, nobody saw this movie, so it's my job to share this nudity. It's Olivia Wilde in Third Person. It's this romantic comedy, I guess, and this scene's spectacular. Liam Neeson's in his hotel room, and Olivia Wilde is trying to seduce him, so she comes down in a robe with nothing on underneath from another hotel room. She comes down, takes the robe off, and stands there at the door when he opens it. And he's like, wow, that's great. And as a joke, he says, can I have your robe? She hands it to him. He shuts the door. She now has to run 2 floors completely nude back to her room. It's a great nude scene, but also a funny nude scene. And it's a beautiful girl, Olivia Wilde, in Third Person.
Kevin, you have heard of this because we had on the director and writer Paul Haggis, who made that movie.
And I love it.
All right, number 4 was a movie that I didn't see as well, Mr. Skin. If you're just joining us, Mr. Skin is on from MrSkin.com talking about the top 10 movie and television nudity scenes of the year. Now, this was a movie that I heard was, you know, European and practically a porn.
No, it was a porn. It's Stacey Martin and Nymphomaniac Volume 1. And yes, this is a movie you have to see. There was so much nudity, they had to do Volume 1 and Volume 2. But it's Lars von Trier, who all his stuff, like Antichrist and Manderley, so out there. And what was weird about this movie is you had mainstream stars like Christian Slater, Uma Thurman, Shia LaBeouf, yet within the movie, not them, but within the movie, there was actual porn, real sex, where they used porn stars as body doubles to do the scenes. And not only that, there was tons of nudity. Stacey Martin is a French model, and she played the girl in her younger days, the main star in her younger days. And I just picked one of about 50 different scenes I could have had from that movie.
That scene looks like actual porn. The clip that you put up looks like it's real. It's not simulated.
I know. It looks like I got it from a porn site, right?
All right. Number 3, you've got 2 entries from the same actress.
Yeah, Eva Green in Sin City, A Dame to Kill For. Also, she was nude in 300, Rise of an Empire. And Eva Green, if I had to say, Kevin and Bean, best breasts in Hollywood, she's a definite top 5. No two ways about it. She showed her breasts 6 different times in this film. And like I said, when you have breasts that spectacular and you're generous enough to share them 6 times in a movie, you're going to be in the top 10 nude scenes of the year. And and then also the bonus, 300 Rise of an Empire, she was also topless. So
it's hard to believe she wasn't number 1, but look at what number 2 is. I can't argue with that either.
Well, Scarlett Johansson in Under the Skin would normally be number 1. This happened an hour and 15 minutes into this movie, and what's so strange is she's an A-list actress. We all have seen tons of movies she's been in, mostly blockbusters and stuff, but This was a movie, like an art house movie, very little dialogue. It was strange. She played an alien that preys on Scottish hitchhikers. Why she did this
again?
Why? Yeah. Why she did this movie, I don't know. But the nudity, she's standing completely naked in front of the mirror. So we get full frontal and full back all at the same time. And like I said, normally this is going to be a number one nude scene of the year. As great as it was, we had something better.
All right, let's talk about number one. Now, you're saying something if it's the best nude scene of all of the movies and all of the TV that came out for an entire year. You better blow me away with this one, Mr. Skin.
Well, it's Alexandra Daddario in True Detective, a great show on HBO.
The kids love her.
The kids love it.
Yes. Matthew McConaughey and Woody Harrelson. And I'll tell you a story about this. The series debuted on January 12th of 2014. The second episode was the following Sunday on the 19th. I'm sitting there watching that with Mrs. Skin, and Alexandra Daddario comes in and undresses Woody Harrelson. She handcuffs Woody Harrelson to the couch. As she gets completely nude, I turn to my wife and go, "That's going to be the best nude scene of 2014."
Yeah.
And that was on January 19th. So I knew the second I saw it, you're not.
That's a romantic moment between you and your wife.
Yeah, that's exactly when my wife got up and left the room. But, hey, that's another story. Yeah.
But you kind of get a free pass to check out whatever's happening on the TV screen, right?
She knows
what pays the mortgage,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I'm doing – it's my job. I have to do
Alexandra Daddario, did she come out of nowhere? Was she
not
a known quantity before?
You know, it's funny. The month before, I was on vacation with my family. My kids are younger, and they wanted to watch a movie in the hotel, so we – rented this movie, one of the Percy Jackson movies, and she's the female lead in the Percy Jackson movies. So I'm half paying attention. I keep looking up like, wow, that girl on Percy Jackson sure is a great rack. And next thing you know, a month later, she's doing this amazing nude scene on True Detective. And listen, if anyone who's seen this, there hasn't been one person that's doubted that this wasn't the best nude scene of 2014.
Ladies and gentlemen, there it is, the top 10 nude scenes of 2014. Mr. Skin, MrSkin.com. Happy holidays to you, my friends. Thanks so much for coming in.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, guys.
The hilarious Ike Barinholtz joins us next hour right here on the Kevin and Bean Show, talking about the return of his show, The Mindy Project, and Hannah Simone from The New Girl on the way as well. Hey, Ralph Garman, I saw a thread on the internet the other day about people weighing in with the worst radio commercial of all time.
Yes.
And the consensus seems to be...
Cat's Mom?
It is not.
No.
1-877 Cars for Kids is the worst ad. Have you heard that one?
God, yes.
1-877
Cars for Kids. K-R-A-S Cars for Kids. Oh, yeah, it's horrible.
It's a horrible, stupid little kid who can't sing. And the part of what makes it so bad, besides the fact that it's an annoying little kid singing a terrible song, is they seem to have bought out every radio station across America every day of every year. You cannot avoid this commercial.
That's true.
It's horrible.
Then it's Cat's Mom. Right.
But I guess it works, because if I were donating a car, that's the only organization that comes to immediate mind as somebody who accepts cars for charity, is Cars for Kids. So I guess the ad works.
Yeah, but I don't even know what that charity is, by the way. I don't know what they're doing for kids or two kids or what they're doing after I give them my car. I have no idea. I just know there's cars and kids or put them together somehow. They could have kids working on cars in a warehouse someplace. I have no idea.
It's very possible. I don't know either.
It's very mysterious.
Strangely, though, Cat's Mom is not on the list.
Now, what?
Maybe it's just because this is an ad that's only heard on K-Rock. But the one that Ralph is referring to, and we have gotten quite a bit of feedback from the Kevin and Bean listeners as they have heard this ad, is let's play a little bit of this. Now, this is our own beautiful cat who comes on after the Kevin and Bean show at 10,
yes,
talking to her real-life mom about her new Mercedes-Benz.
Hey, Mom.
It's so hot here.
How hot is it?
It's so hot, your mother is melting.
That is not attractive. You know, if you lived in L.A., I could pick you up in my Mercedes-Benz CLA.
So there they go. They go on and they talk about the Mercedes-Benz. Now, I understand.
First Cat has a long, long history of using horrible people in her commercials.
She certainly does.
Like beer mug.
Before Mom? Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, last week, did you somehow get into it with Cat's Mom, or what happened, Ralph?
Well, I've been talking for a while about the commercial and how Cat's Mom's voice is the audio equivalent of a rectal probe. it's hideous. Nothing. I'm sure she's a lovely lady. She seems to have done a fine job raising Cat, but her voice is just not for human consumption on any level, and should never be broadcast. That's what I'm. It's just. No. It's a piercing, hideous, horribly awful, shrill series of sounds that no one needs to hear. Yeah, see, no one needs to hear that. It's just, oh, it's brutal.
You know what it reminds me of is Throw Mama from the Tray. It reminds
yes.
me of that lady.
Owen! Owen, where you been, Owen? Come on, listen to that. It's hideous.
Now, did Kat rat you out to her dear sweet mom, though?
Yes.
And now you guys are mortal enemies?
So apparently Kat sent the break, the audio of that break while I was talking about how hideous her mom's voice is, to her mom.
Oh, no.
And now her mom hates me. Now I'm her mom's mortal enemy because I mocked her mom's voice, which is not my fault, by the way. That voice is not my fault. And anyone would say the same thing. I just had the courage to say it out loud.
That is, that's sad, though, that you hurt an old lady's feelings.
Well, look, someone had to tell her. Do you think she doesn't know her voice is horrible? Come on.
Yeah, true.
God,
sounds like a love connection to me.
That's hideous. Should we talk to her? You want to get her on the phone?
Do we have her? Can we?
That's
Are you kidding me? We can talk to Kat's mom?
I understand she was calling in. That's what I understand.
Oh, my God. Really? This is fantastic. Hello?
Hello. How's everybody there in Los Angeles?
Well, we're doing fine. I can't believe you're coming on. Ralph is here, you know.
I don't like that Ralph. He doesn't say nice things about me.
I'm sorry, Mrs. Kat. I apologize.
You weren't trying to hurt anybody's feelings, right,
no,
Ralph?
No, not at all. I just your daughter is using your voice in commercials, and your voice is an acquired taste.
What if I come out there to Los Angeles and kick your ass?
Well, I wouldn't like that. That would be horrible if you would do that. I don't want to fight you. I don't want to get a physical altercation. I'm sure you're a lovely lady.
And I'm sure you're an asshole.
No.
Well, that's quite unnecessary, Mrs. Kat.
She's a delight in person, as in addition to in her commercials, it sounds
you
like.
You shut up, too, you
oh,
big
sorry.
Freaking giant.
Wow.
I don't like you either. I'll fly out there to Los Angeles and kick both your asses.
How about the girl? What do you think of the girl?
Yeah.
I don't even know anything about the girl.
Well, it's Lisa May. She does traffic for us.
Yeah.
Traffic? That's where my cat tried to drive a car.
Yes, she
tried. In traffic.
That's true, yeah.
Very painful to listen to you. It really is.
That car seems like it does everything.
She likes it very
fly?
Much.
Oh, it's so hot out there in Los Angeles. You must be melting.
This is Wicked Witch of the West territory now.
Oh, sweet God, make it stop.
It hurts so much.
Ralph Garman is back, thank God.
Good to be back. Thanks, everybody.
I got to tell you that, you know how kids look forward to Christmas and then they open the gift and it's like maybe the best thing in the world to them and they're so full of joy.
Oh, yeah.
They're so happy.
Yes.
That's how Ralph is every time I screw up.
How dare you?
I look over and his eyes are wide open.
I don't.
He's not mean about it, but he's so excited. So that's
why. I take
why,
no pleasure in your malaprops.
Oh, you do. So that's why after last Friday, was it, Bean?
Yes, it was. I think it was a 7:05 Friday morning.
This is too long to have a moment with. I mean, there's too much here because it's impossible to screw up things more than I did.
Well, hold on.
You made a lot of bad choices in a row, if that's what you're saying.
We've heard you go on, Kevin,
yes.
for some marathon moments with.
This is 2 minutes and 20 seconds.
No! Way
it's
possible.
Not, it's not me going on the whole time, but it's totally my
It's
screw
a comedy of errors. Look, no. Can I tell Ralph what was going on? Okay.
Give me some context.
So 7:05 Friday morning, we're very excited that we are going to talk to Chad Coleman, who's the very fine actor who plays Tyrese on The Walking Dead. We're going to talk about the return of The Walking Dead Sunday night. So we're all set. Well, as sometimes happens with guests, and they're very busy, the timing doesn't work out, and they're not on the phone. So we're about a minute out from where we're supposed to talk to Mr. Coleman.
Okay.
And we may not have him, and Dave's not been able to get in touch with his people.
Mm.
So I look ahead on the schedule, and I see that coming up at 7:20, we're going to be talking to Gene Simmons, the great rock star Gene Simmons from Kiss, as played by our friend Mike Catherwood. So I says to Dave, I says, hey, can you get Mike on the phone, and maybe we'll talk to Gene Simmons at 7:05, and then if Chad Coleman calls, we can do him at 7:20.
Smart.
Dave says, got it. Christine calls. They get Mike on the phone. He's on hold.
Great.
Dave buzzes into the studio and says, we have Catherwood. And Kevin says, all right, so we're doing Mike here. We're doing Gene Simmons. Got it.
I said that out loud.
All right.
then the song is winding down.
Good plan. All right.
And we're on the air.
Yes.
And I start talking. So does this mean Tyrese is dead on The Walking Dead, too?
Oh,
if actor Chad Coleman is missing? I'm just saying.
He's here. We got him.
You got him on the line?
Yeah.
Finally returning. It doesn't seem like when The Walking Dead is off, like the months seem like years.
Okay,
like,
pause right there.
Not for 6 months, but it seems
pause
like
right
six
there.
Years. So what happened was,
you just said, Mike Hathaway on the line.
Yeah.
We're going to talk to Gene Simmons, and Kevin has said out loud, got it. Mike's on the phone, Gene Simmons next.
So everyone's in agreement. Everybody knows that the line is blinking, and it's Mike Catherwood to play Gene Simmons.
And seconds later, Kevin puts on The Walking Dead theme music and says, we have
so I assume
Chad Coleman
from
on the line.
So Lisa he got on that. The line.
And Bean assumed
everyone
that.
Must have.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Kevin's got some information
knew.
That you don't have.
Well, here's some thing. Here's the thing. Dave can talk into my headphones, and you guys don't hear it, and nobody on the air hears it. So that's what everybody took for granted.
Obviously, why else would you play the music unless you didn't have information that other people
had? So Bean, on the fly, he was going to do Gene Simmons. He picked up on it, went right into
the
intro.
Music. He's ready. He's a pro.
He is a pro.
Got him on the line?
Yeah.
Finally returning. It doesn't seem like when The Walking Dead is off, like the months seem like years. Like it's gone for 6 months, but it seems like 6 years when it's gone.
It does seem like it has been forever.
It does. And we are so excited this time of year when we get back to get into the show. It debuts for season 5 on Sunday night at 9 on AMC. We are so excited to welcome Chad Coleman to the program. Hey, Mr. Coleman, how are you, sir? Hello,
hey.
Chad. There we go. Okay, that's not... This isn't Chad. What are you doing, Kevin?
Wow.
Dave told us.
Talk about The Walking Dead.
What part of we have Mike?
I'm
don't
really
you guys understand?
Because
we don't have Mike. We have Gene Simmons. I don't know what you're talking about. So Dave is frustrated. He's trying to figure out how this happened. And
I'm
he's
so confused.
Baffled. He's baffled.
Dave, this must come as a surprise to him after he went up to the work of setting it up so you wouldn't be embarrassed live on the air with this kind of screw-up.
Right.
And how surprised was Mike?
Mike must have been the most surprised of all because he's just calling. First of all, he's feeding the baby or something when Christine calls, and he thinks he's got 20 minutes. And Christine's like, can you go now? And he's like, okay, I'll go now. And then we introduce him as Chad Coleman from The Walking Dead, who he's never heard of. He has no idea why we're doing this.
Kevin, what were you thinking?
Honestly, I've thought about that because Bean immediately said, we have to wait till Ralph gets back. He'll love this. I've thought about it. I think I was not paying attention. I was on my computer or something when everything was being said. And in my mind, I think all I heard was, hey, 805 or 705 is going to be okay. I think. So I must have just taken for granted that that means that he got Chad at the last second. Honestly, I don't know.
But you look at the call screener when you go to the phone line, and that's where they had written Gene Simmons on the phone.
The conversation was had, though, in your presence just before you went live on the air.
And I repeated it. But I don't think I was listening to it at all even when I said it, because I was surprised to hear that I repeated it.
Here's what I think happens.
Yes.
You are you're an etch-a-sketch. You're a mental etch-a-sketch.
Okay.
Like
if
you're on the etch-a-sketch and you make a design with the knobs, you're on etch-a-sketch. That toy, you know how that works?
I know.
And then if you take the etch-a-sketch and you shake it, whatever you had on that etch-a-sketch prior to that, gone.
Yeah.
It's just wiped clean.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you thought everything was fine and you got into the thing, and then Bean, as a tease for the next segment, started talking about The Walking Dead.
Correct.
And because we had been promoting him that he was going to be on after the showbiz beat, so I thought I'll make a mention of the fact why Chad's not on. It's because we can't find him.
And that shook your etch-a-sketch.
Yeah.
And now all that's in your head is Walking Dead. Bean's talking about The Walking Dead. Walking Dead. Walk, dead, 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 dead. And the knob started to turn again, and then you just went into Walking Dead mode.
I'd say that's pretty accurate.
I think that's what happened.
That's pretty accurate.
Now tell Ralph the part that I didn't even know about until after we talked to Gene Simmons, by the way. What did you do, Kevin, once you realized that Mike was on the phone and not Chad Coleman?
Oh, the delay thing?
Yes.
So we can get out of delay, which cuts out certain segment, like 4 seconds at a time.
Right, in case somebody curses or something.
So for some reason in my mind, I thought, hey, I'm going to get out of delay. I'm going to hit, if I hit that 3 times, that'll erase the last 12 seconds. And this is my mind now.
and we can make the save.
And none of this will have ever happened on the air.
And no one will have heard it. I mean, we've already been talking for over a minute.
Right.
So I don't know how I think 12 seconds is going to make
so
it go away.
So you just start hitting
three times the button.
Yeah. So people who are listening now are really confused.
Yeah, now there's parts cut out, and it sounds like a skipping record is what it sounds like. Our voices literally didn't make sense one into the next. So I did
and
that
of course,
as well.
And, of course, I have
and
no way of knowing.
No idea that I hit the delay.
Right. So even if it had worked, I would have kept on going talking to Gene Simmons. Because I don't know that now that's erased, and now we're back to Chad Colbert. I don't know what the hell's going on.
Yeah. Yeah. So then, Dean literally is really unable
to
go
on. I need to hear more of this, please.
Look, I was told that we were talking to Gene Simmons, and then you said, oh, we have him. I started talking about, oh, we don't have the Walking Dead guy. And you said, we do have the Walking Dead guy. So I thought, you must have called it at the last second.
This is Dr. Chad Coleman. Let me get Gene Simmons. He happens to be sleeping right next to me. Hold on 1 second. Excuse me. Gene Simmons, you want to talk to Kevin and Bean? Hello? Kevin and Bean?
All right. Gene Simmons, you hold on for a second.
All right. Now, here's where Bean, I think, made the right call. Because Mike was going to try and get into Gene Simmons.
The bit.
Yeah. And Bean's like, no.
Yeah, you can't. No.
Kevin. What happened?
You think this is going to help Bean?
I want to know what happened. We were told before the song ended that we weren't going to have Chad Colbert. We were going to have Gene Simmons. So I bring up, hey, we don't have Chad Colbert. And you're like, no, he's on the phone. Which
he's
means
on the phone right now.
He's on the phone. What's going on?
He's not on the phone. I don't know why you would say that. I don't understand this whole thing.
Lisa, what's happening right now?
I don't know. I'm very confused.
Bean, here's the awesome thing. When Dave said we have Mike on the phone,
we don't have Mike, by the way.
Gene Simmons. Right. When we had Gene Simmons on the phone, Kevin repeated that. He's like, oh, okay, good. We have Gene Simmons on the phone.
Right, we don't need your help.
All I got to say is, guys,
yes,
there's not a day that goes by that I don't wish that I was back on the Kevin and Bean show. And it's moments like this that really reinforce that desire.
Well, that's because we're professionals.
To come back to a professional outfit like the Kevin and Bean show.
I have gotten a lot worse, Mike. I have. I really have. We need a half hour with Kevin now, I think, rather than just a moment.
Now, Kevin, you said that sometimes you're able to laugh at the moments when you just go, well, it's just a mess up.
Most of them I don't care. I screwed up. It's funny.
And how did this one affect your Friday and your weekend?
I was bummed all weekend. I was angry at myself. I hated myself.
You shouldn't be angry at yourself. You should be worried. Because they're going to find you roaming around in your neighborhood in a bathrobe and slippers.
Soon. I don't doubt that.
I'm not kidding.
I knew that.
We need to put a chip under your skin. We need to chip you because you're not going to show up someday someplace.
I think Kevin is doing exactly as well as anyone might have expected someone like him to perform in a position like that.
All right. So that was fun for everybody, right?
Yeah.
Has Mike ever been more delusional than he is about how many five-year-olds could you take in a fight?
Well, it's a matter of degrees because he's constantly delusional. But this time he's really just out of his mind.
I do get the sense sometimes that Psycho Mike, who, you know, is in pretty good shape and considers himself, you know, the best creature on earth. Right. I do get the feeling sometimes that he thinks he's a real life Rambo and that he could kill 100 people with his bare hands if he had to.
Yeah. I think the drug use really has done some damage. That's the problem.
I think he's really fried his brain to the point where now he can't comprehend reality versus fantasy.
I don't think I could kill 100 people with my bare hands. 5-year-olds? Yeah.
Okay, here's the deal. There's a website that's become very popular on the internet, as the kids call it, called How Many 5-Year-Olds Could You Take in a Fight? By the way, do not email me to ask me what the website is. How Many 5-Year-Olds Could You Take in a Fight.com is the website, okay?
Very easy.
And the ground rules are simple. You're enclosed in an area roughly the size of a basketball court. There's no weapons or foreign objects. Everyone's wearing a cup.
Right.
The children are merciless. No kicks to the groin, right? The children are merciless and will show no fear. If a child is knocked unconscious, he is out. The same goes for you. And the purpose of the website is there is a quiz that they have developed where they ask questions about your physical ability, whether you have any kind of special training, if you're, you know, if you have some judo in the back or, you know, your past or something like that.
Your personality.
They want to know
what kind of person you are.
Right. They want to know, there's a moral compass section about, you know, discerning how you would feel about fighting kids. Are you willing to do whatever it takes to win? And then at the end, you take a short quiz, and there is a score that is revealed of how many 5-year-olds you could take in a fight. And I was completely honest when I took the quiz, and my number was 18. 18 5-year-olds.
Yeah.
Which
I think is a little high, by the way.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean I'd want to do it, but according to the information I inputted, they think I could take 18 5-year-olds in a fight. So,
but you'd be crying. You'd be crying after like the fifth one. Did they say that? You'd just be a mess, and just by sheer falling on them by your voluminous size, you'd crush a few lucky. You'd get lucky.
So we're having a conversation about this off air because this is the type of thing that people do to waste time at work. And Psycho Mike laughs out loud at any number under 100. He seems to believe that he could take all the 5-year-olds.
He said infinite. He said all infinite number. Mm-hmm. They would just keep coming. I would just keep taking them out, all of them, all the time. And I said, you're an idiot. By sheer numbers, anything, if anything attacks you in a swarm or a pack, eventually they're going to wear you down and you're going to go down.
No, not me. I could take an infinite number of 5-year-olds. I could wreck them. I would wreck 5-year-olds.
You know how small their bones are? You know how undeveloped their breathing is?
I could take them all out. I went to my sister's kindergarten class where her kid goes. I could kill them all.
I did think about that. I was last time I was at my nephew Mark, his kindergarten class. He is exactly 5, and I was thinking back to when I was in that classroom, and there's 45-year-olds in there. I'm like, if I just went let loose, I would wreck every one of those kids before they could even think to do anything. And now, and then, obviously, you take the wolves and you change them up a little bit because these are ruthless 5-year-olds. These are not your average 5-year-olds.
They're like zombie 5-year-olds.
No, yeah.
Feral kids.
Okay, I sat at home and I thought about this. I'm like, okay, these are Soviet coked out orphans. These are like the baddest 5-year-olds that have ever existed.
By the way, Soviet coked out orphans playing Coachella, they're very good.
Yeah, you've got an 8-ball in your pocket and they're jonesing.
They need it. Yeah. Right. I'm the only food they're going to have. These kids, they're not going to stop at anything.
They're children of the corn.
And I took the test numerous times yesterday, and I got both between 34 and 36, changing my answers on a couple that I was iffy. And it's 34, and I'm still saying way low, easily 50. You put me in a basketball court with 55-year-olds, I will – not only will I beat them up and win, I will probably come out mostly unscathed.
You're just
serve
insane.
Them. Yeah, okay, whatever.
They're
Lightning's kids, fine.
You.
Lightning kids, you know what? Take Gavin and clone him. And I would just go on a war path.
But you're not Superman, Mike.
I know
you're
I'm not Superman. They're 5-year-olds.
But there are a swarm of them attacking you all at once.
I know. You do get tired, Mike. You understand that the 5-year-olds that are outside of your reach are not tired.
Right.
Okay? So
They're coming at you.
I understand that. But as you take out one or two 5-year-olds, and if they're unconscious, they're done. So I break off the first 4 or 5 within my first striking distance. Then I have room to move and maneuver, and I can back up and check my space.
But they're coming from behind you.
It's over after that.
They're coming from behind you, idiot. They're coming from every possible direction.
I understand that, but you.
If I got a cage of 50 rats and I let them loose on you, they would gnaw you to death before you could take all the rats out.
See, now you're just being asinine. That's ridiculous.
We're talking about swarm mentality.
Picture the scene in Kill Bill where Uma has the 88s, where she's got 88 swordsmen coming at her. From all different angles. But I'm just saying, it's a room full of adversaries. Look, Ralph brought up a great point when he used the word swarm. Could you take one bee? Of course you could. Could you take 2 bees? Yeah. Could you take 1,000 bees? I don't think so.
No,
I mean, there is strength
what
in
you're
numbers
missing
against you.
Is that they would have to all literally, like a cartoon, jump on me at once and keep me down. That doesn't happen in real life. One of them gets on my back, I shake him off immediately.
Then
I try to get
him on your back, and then you shake him off, and he's gouging at your
like
eyes, and you can't see the other one's coming.
Yeah, you can't be everywhere at all at
how,
one time.
How
again, it's
are
impossible.
You thinking you can just dominate anyone at any time?
No, I don't. I think I could dominate 55-year-olds who come up to my waist in a basketball court. That's the. I'm just telling you.
You're mentally deficient. You
all
truly
right.
are.
All right. Okay, listen to me. If you take,
you took the test and they gave you the number and you still reject that. You reject even the scientific,
I must,
of the how many 5 years
you
take in a fight.
Eat a little crow and say that I can't take infinite like I thought. I was seeing it as like a Bruce Lee movie where they're just lining up
that's
in a line
we're saying.
Going one by one
that,
and I'm just breaking them off.
You think your life's a Bruce Lee movie?
No,
and it's not.
No. But 50 is very that's a average LA Unified School District class. 50 kids. Put them in a basketball court right now. Put them in Nerf costumes so I can't really hurt them. And I just start wailing. You will see. But any of you out there who hate your children, or you, like if there's some orphans listening that happen to be on like a CB radio that you found in the trash, let's do it. Come on,
yeah,
anytime.
All you orphans on the trash CB that picks up FM, come on down.
All right, we need to take a break. Let me take one call before we do. Go to Kirk in Lakewood. He's on line 7. And then we're going to take other calls at 1-800-520-1067. We're right about this. And Mike is psycho. He's living up to his name. He is delusional. delusional if he thinks he could take 55-year-olds. He just can't. Kurt, good morning. You're on the air.
Yeah, hey, I've got three boys, 9, 6, and 3. You give them all 3 wiffle ball bats, and they would take his ass down.
No wiffle ball bats.
No weapons,
so shut up.
Thing, Kirk.
Stupid Kirk. Die.
Okay, fine, then, dude. 3 rusty spoons.
Listen, no weapons allowed!
Clearly stated.
That was the first thing I said. You give them stones, or I mean, I'm not talking about wandering through Slovakia and kids are hitting me from the ceiling with big boulders, you douche. I'm talking about kids with no weapons.
Look,
there's nothing they can do to me!
Okay, I'm sorry. My 3 sons and my 2 nephews that are under 4 would kick his ass.
Yeah, all right.
Especially if you had
sign them up
on Captain Crunch or something with a lot of sugar in it.
That's a bold claim. Bring them down here.
Thank you for the call, Kurt. We brought up an excellent point that I think you're forgetting. You're thinking about the fire in your belly, Mike, and you're thinking about how motivated you are to win. Picture 50 kids just as motivated as you are. They're bringing it also. They may not have your strength one-on-one, but they are rabid.
No, they don't have more energy.
Have you ever been around a 5-year-old?
Yes, a lot of times. That's what you're missing.
And jump and scream.
They can. They have a lot of energy.
For like a day and a half.
They have a lot of energy. But they have teeny little lungs. Not only do they have no power, they have very little wind. They can go all day because they have a lot of energy, but they have to stop and take breaks. They get tired.
They don't need a lot of energy. To put their little tiny hands in your eyes and pull them out.
But,
they're attacking your eyes, your face.
That's what you're misunderstanding. They're 3 feet tall. How are they getting to my eyes when I'm like a Viking berserker spinning around serving them? I pick up one kid and start bashing other kids with them.
How windy would you be after the Viking berserker, by the way, for about 3 minutes, and they're still coming?
Once you create space in the basketball court, because that's clearly stated in the rules, once you create space for myself, I can start knowing my what's behind me and
they're
in front
mad.
Of me and
they're
moving.
Not, they're not going to stand back and let you
no,
have space.
No, but
they're
I can create. I've been jumped by adults, and that's what you do. Once you can create some
Mike,
space, you know where to move.
These aren't
but
reasonable
Mike, what
adults who are trying
about
to
the
size
kids,
you up, a-hole.
What about the kids who can crawl around your feet and pull you down? They can pull your legs out from under you.
Yeah,
you can't
I agree.
Control all of them.
Listen,
all right.
listen.
We got to take a break. Hold on, everybody. We got to take a break. We got some calls
we'll get
on the phone.
We'll get your point of view when we come back, right?
We will definitely hear from Omar. We'll hear from you, too. 1-800-520-1067. The site is how many 5-year-olds could you take in a fight? Mike says all. We'll discuss when we return on K-Rock. I think we're going to have to take this out of the laboratory and put it in real world and have to find 55-year-olds to take down Psycho Mike, don't
Come
you guys?
Come on.
Listen to Nate from Torrance's email. Ralph, when I was 5, my dad taught me to grab onto the neck and not to let go for anything. If Psycho Mike had a kid like me, the time it would take him to get me off his neck, 10 other kids would take him out at the knees, then 5 would start jumping on his head, while the other 10 kids tackling him would start breaking his fingers.
No, he's thinking with a grown adult's brain, but not with a 5-year-old's body. The time it would take me to get him off my neck is, oh, I don't know, 1.5 seconds of just...
Then what about the next one who gets on your neck? What about the next one? And then the one after that?
Why are the kids giving you headbutts in the knees and the stomach while that's happening?
They won't be headbutting my knees because they'll be simultaneously getting their ribs broken by one kick from me because they're 5-year-olds and they have bones like little birdies.
You can't keep kicking every 1.5 seconds.
Yes, I can!
What, you just do the splits in the air for an hour? You're an idiot asshole!
All right, hold on a sec, Jackie Chan. Let's take some calls. How many 5-year-olds could you take into fight.com is the site. That's the discussion on the table. Let's start with line 2.
I got 27, by the way. I took the test. 27.
Oh, did you? Wow. Okay. Well, you got the boxing training and everything. You got some skills. 1-800-520-1067. Ron is in Covina. Robert is in Bill Gardens. He is on line 3, please. We'll try to squeeze in a few phone calls and try to bring Mike down a few pegs.
Yeah.
Good morning, Robert. What do you think?
Morning, you know, Mike, as much as these kids nowadays need a nice good beating, but I think most of us, if you think about it, every single punch you throw Mike is going to be with the intent to kill him. And after about, if any of the stands there in shadow boxes and throws their hardest punches after 20, you're already getting winded. By then, those kids have all jumped on you. I think sounds pretty accurate. About 30, even if they land up one at a time, you're going to get winded after a bit, man.
Now, what about that? You're going to get winded, and there are going to be a ton of 5-year-olds in the room who haven't done anything yet who are still at full strength. Right?
Well, I took that into consideration, and yes, fighting is probably the most physically demanding thing there is. But I'm not in kind of good shape. I'm in really good shape, both respiratory-wise and muscular-wise. And my adrenaline's flowing. That's clearly stated in the rules that not only are the kids fighting to the death, that I am in mode to fight to death. I've thrown morality right out the door, and this is a fight to the death. So with the adrenaline pump, I'm ready to go.
But when your adrenaline's pumping, your energy is used up even quicker. If you know anything about fighting, you know that they
keep your cool in the ring, because in 3 minutes, if you let your adrenaline get you on top of the physical activity, your energy will start to burn out. It happens to the best of fighters, Mike, and you're not nearly as in shape as the guys who are in the ring professionally.
I'm not saying I'm not, but
so after 3 minutes, they're winded, but you wouldn't be, because you're super psycho Mike.
No.
let's go to Ron in Covina. He's on line two. Also disagrees that Mike could take 50. Ron, good morning. Go ahead.
Hey, what's up, guys? What the hell is smoking, man? Seriously, you can only take 30. And the reason I say this is, first of all, you could probably get like a few of them, but after a while, they're going to start clinging to your body. And then you're going to be trying to kick them off and throw them off, and they're going to start climbing on you.
Yeah, it's sheer numbers.
That's what we're saying. For some reason, Mike doesn't understand that kids can do that.
Well, no, what you don't understand is that kids aren't like adults and that they couldn't do that. That it, the level of the disproportion between my strength and their strength and my ability and their ability, and it says that if they get knocked out, they're considered dead. If they're
knocked out of the game,
I'm going to knock out so many so quickly that it's going to create ability for me to walk around and create and
see
what I'm doing.
You're not Jackie Chan, man.
Oh, I know.
You're
I'm
not.
Jackie Chan. Whatever.
You're going to start whacking people, knocking them out, like give them karate judo chops?
They're 5-year-olds.
And they're coming at you all at once in a mass swarm. You're not understanding the concept of the sheer numbers of what you're facing.
You're not understanding that how, because they're coming at me in mass swarm, how are they going to all get on top of me? It takes so little force to throw them off of me and prevent them from getting my legs, getting on top of me, getting my hands, getting my back. They're up to my waist, and I'm not even a tall guy. How are they going to get up there when I'm constantly preventing them at
all angles?
They're
climbing on top of each other and themselves.
Okay.
They're coming at you like wild animals. That's the whole point.
I understand that.
I guess
you don't spend enough time with kids to know how fragile that body, even a big, huge 5-year-old who's, like I said, like these are like the worst, most badass, like tough thug 5-year-olds. Their body can only take so much damage before they're either fatally injured or injured to the point they can't go on.
You can handle 50 chihuahuas, let alone 50 kids.
Let's talk to Lauren in Newport Beach, line 7. Lauren, you're on the Kevin and Bean Show on Q-Rock. Help us bring Psycho Mike down a few pegs. What's up?
Good morning. I am a teacher of severely handicapped, autistic, emotionally disturbed 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds. And I would like to invite Mike to my classroom to take on 6 or 7 of my students because they are wild.
Yes.
And bite him and grind him down so fast.
I bet.
They will take chunks out of his flesh. It'll be
absolutely
awesome.
I like how you're offering up your students to get beaten,
hey,
by the
this
way.
This isn't about her. This isn't about her, by the way. It's about you. And I hope they bite you right in the artery in the inside of your leg and you bleed out.
I hope
absolutely.
Okay. Well, that's they're special. So they're not included in the rules.
They do have card strength, though. You guys got to remember that.
Yeah. Unfair.
They are card strength.
By the way, Mike doesn't seem to think, thank you, Lauren, for the call. We appreciate it. Mike doesn't even seem to think the way he's talking that he could get hurt. He doesn't say, he seems to think he's impervious to them biting. He's impervious to them kicking, to smashing. There's nothing.
He thinks it's World of Warcraft. He gets to pick what his power is when he goes in.
And my power is being a strong adult. And
that they are not strong enough to do any damage to him.
Right, because he's impenetrable. Because he is just,
of course,
he's superhuman.
Right. Let's do one more.
Bird bones.
Joe is in Glendora on line 5.
We're not getting malnourished kids from Ethiopia who are coming in. Who are like, hitting you like Montgomery Burns, by the way, looking for some rice and Sally Struthers.
Unfortunately, I don't think we could find a scenario, as generous as Lauren's offer is, where Mike can actually fight the kids. The 5-year-olds.
There has to be some like illegal immigrants who could offer up their kids for like $50. Come on.
Well, let's see what Joe's saying. Joe may have an idea. Go ahead, Joe.
Hey, good morning. Kevin and Bean, Lisa May.
Hi, Joe.
Good morning.
So there's only two ways we could really come to a conclusion on that. I think the first one would be either to call the decider.
Right.
Which I think Psycho Mike's obviously probably going to lose that. Or we could put him in the 50-kid simulator and put him in a gymnasium full of midgets.
What about midgets to substitute for the 5-year-olds? What about that?
5-year-olds.
I'm in.
Oh, come on.
How many midgets could you take, though?
They're much stronger than 5-year-olds.
I agree, but it'd be worth trying. It'd be fun to beat up 50 midgets.
You would, number one.
Hey,
listen, if you don't live for something, Lisa, you die for nothing. Whatever
exactly.
Rambo said.
Way to go, Rambo.